about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Barcelona! Barcelona!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Look at this sky, look at this world, look at the boys, look at the girls.
It's an inky dinky doo da morning.
Morning, 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 morning.
The air is fresh, brisk and sweet. Why, I could even smell your feet.
It's an inky dinky doo da morning.
Inky dinky doo da morning.
Exactly.
You say the work, but you haven't said the words.
The work.
Prostitution.
Escort.
Escort. What's the difference?
Escort.
What's the difference?
I think it's same.
Is there nothing sacred? Have we lost our moral setup? Just makes me want to pee on someone.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Open up a blog.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Not ever. No way.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
What?
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Or is it?
Roll another one.
I actually do like white bands.
Just like the other one.
That's what she said.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Professor Clyde Tombaugh, I discovered the planet Pluto in 1930.
I found him extremely handsome.
Just passing around.
I was underimpressed.
Thank you for whipping that out on us.
Just passing.
And now,
I make average about $20 to $30.
And what do you use that $20 to $30 on?
Weed.
Our feature presentation.
Stupid Dave got her hopes up last week saying, guys, I think the restraining order is over and we can call the Armenian comedian. He's a year off.
Well, got excited.
You're kidding already? That's great. I miss him.
We were like, has it been 2 years already? I think so. It's been a year, Dave. Been a year, so this this time next year we'll already be so angry at Sam having had him back on the air one or two times they will be ready to fire him again. It's so crazy that a guy who's been on our show for 20 years we're not allowed legally to talk to him, isn't it?
It really is bizarre, but necessary, unfortunately.
Anyway, party people, it's finally Friday. It's the 22nd of April. I was tipped off by the listeners that it was going to be a rough day with Kevin today because they saw you tweeting after midnight last night. So they knew that you were going to be tired and cranky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you stay for the whole game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah? Was there a miracle comeback? Did I miss it?
Not yet.
Okay,
I mean, unless they're still playing. I don't think so. Now, here's the problem with the Kings and the Sharks hockey playoffs is that the Sharks are better.
Right.
And that's it. And that's a bummer.
That does make it makes it difficult to get past them when they're better. You said in your tweet, though, except for offense and defense, though, the Kings are every bit as good.
Exactly. Those are the only two problem spots that we have. So that's good.
I know how disappointed you are because I know what it's like to love a team and root for a team. Does it help at all that this is what you expected to happen this series based on what every single expert said before the series began? Does that help even a tiny bit?
No, because I didn't believe it at all.
Oh, you didn't believe it?
No, I thought we could beat them.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen.
Well, it still could. I mean,
yeah, it could. We got to beat them in San Jose and then beat them there and then beat them here once and then beat them there again. Three in a row. I mean, it's possible.
Sure.
But to do that, we'd have to stop them from scoring six goals in a game, and that seems to be a problem.
Right. Sharks have a lot of experience. They got a lot of good players with a lot of they got Stanley Cup rings on that team. They got 1,000-point players. I mean, they got a lot going for them.
They need those. I need them to get those Stanley Cup rings away from around our throats. It's rough.
There are Sharks fans listening now who are loving this.
I know.
They love tuning in every day to hear your misery.
I know. Well, they deserve it. They deserve it. They're playing great.
Sure. Yeah.
Bastards. It doesn't make them not bastards, though, Bean.
Okay.
All right. Back to you.
I read last night, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I read that there is a three-way tie in the NHL for the teams that have gone the longest without winning a Stanley Cup. 44 years, apparently, is the record.
Yeah.
Is that how long the Kings have been in existence? 44 years?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Okay. It's been a long day.
You're just going to rub my nose in it like a dog?
No, I was just asking. I didn't know if I peed on your carpet.
You're going to grab my hand and go, no, you stop doing this. Don't do that.
I'll change topics and I'll cheer you up with this story that you're going to love from Bridgeport, Connecticut. This is a guy who poured out more than, I don't know how you get a hold of a full gas tank, separate from a vehicle. I don't know. I don't understand the deal. Could you even steal a gas tank out of a car? Is that something you can steal that wouldn't leak?
I don't know.
Well, this guy had $200 worth of gasoline in a gas tank. He's driving down the street, pouring it out so that he can sell the gas tank, the metal, to a scrapyard for $60.
What?
Now, this is a terrible problem, not just with gas tanks, but metal is now valuable, apparently.
And but it's not as valuable as gas.
Well, that's the point. He wanted to sell, it would have been $60 for the tank. He poured out over $200 worth of gasoline in order to empty the tank so he could go to a scrapyard and sell it.
Are you sure he wasn't just pouring one out for his homie?
Emilio Valentine, 52, was charged with illegally dumping hazardous material. He was driving down the street, dumping the gas as he went, which, of course, is an explosive hazard. All you have to do is use your imagination to think about somebody throwing a cigarette out the window, and then the whole street goes up, right?
Yeah.
But he emptied out the tank, took it to a salvage place, and they would not buy it, by the way. It was still dripping from gasoline. They assumed it was stolen and refused to buy it. And the guy was, in fact, arrested. And, $200 worth of gas for a $60 gas tank makes you feel like the guy missed a day of business school or something.
Yeah, he's not a very good businessman.
But I hear stories all the time. In fact, you and I, Kevin, have a friend who was away from his home for some time, and thieves came in and ripped out all of the pipes, all the copper and everything out of the pipes in his home.
Sweet.
Because you can sell that stuff for so much money now.
That guy probably got a lot of money.
So anyway, that's not the brightest guy I've heard about all day.
Sweet. That's funny.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, but I thought that would cheer you up a little bit.
It probably took him like a couple of miles, too.
I would think so,
It's probably 20 gallons or something like that. He's pouring it out. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Some days working with you is like being in hell.
Most days, I'd say, actually. speaking of hockey, we have Corey Perry from the Anaheim Ducks.
How about that?
They're tied 2-2 in their series. Mm-hmm. We have Mixmaster Mike on the program today. We haven't had him in a while. Very excited about that. He's actually going on the road and playing with Travis.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. You would vote for Donald Trump? Bean's been keeping his eye on this as he likes to stay current. And he says that he's pretty much leading in the polls right now for the Republican nomination for president. Now, that's awesome.
Well, look, I know the polls don't mean anything at this point. The election is so far away. But he hasn't even announced yet.
He certainly is
making the rounds, and he certainly is talking about what he'd do if he was president. He's certainly out there saying, the current president does not deserve re-election, and here's how I'd do it better. So he sounds like a guy who's running for president, and people are taking him seriously.
Yeah, I think he's just doing it for PR, but I could be totally wrong on that. But I would love to see the White House like all pimped out in gold. Everything Donald Trump has is so over. It's gaudy, but it's gaudy times 100.
Yeah.
You just go, that can't even look good to people who like gold.
Other celebrities who have talked about running for office, a lot of times they get scared off by having to disclose finances. And Donald Trump in every interview says, I can't wait to disclose my finances. People are going to be shocked how much money I have.
Yeah,
But no matter how much money he has, he certainly can't buy good taste.
That's true. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We're going to talk to our royal wedding correspondent. This nonsense is finally going to be over in a week. That I'm going to be excited about.
The only thing good about the royal wedding, by the way, is how hot Kate is. And she is on my TV a lot. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Yeah. But you know what? There's a lot of beautiful women out there that aren't going through this process that it's being thrown in our face all the time.
Well, I'm just looking for a bright side that I get to see her on my TV a lot.
Yeah. Kendra Wilkinson.
How about that?
On the program today. And we've got your tickets for Big Four, which is this weekend, by the way. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 549.
Big Four tickets in about a half an hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow is the show with Metallica, Anthrax, Slayer, and Megadeth. Oh. We'll tell you how to win. You can't wait, right, Ralph?
Metallica! Metallica! Yeah.
And then the next weekend is the country music festival out there that you're going to go to.
It just keeps getting better.
You're going to love it.
Oh, I hope Toby Keith shows up and puts his American boot up in foreign ass or whatever that song is.
He probably will. Anyway, stick around for that on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph has our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Stop making a reference to that song, dude.
Dude, forever it will not just be Friday. It is now
always.
It is always Friday.
Doesn't have to be, is what I'm saying.
Bean is our Rebecca Black. He is.
He is.
Congratulations to 30 Rock star Jane Krakowski. She's a first-time mommy. The 42-year-old actress welcomed a baby boy into the world last Wednesday. Little guy weighed in at 7 pounds, 12 ounces, and his name Bennett. Bennett Godley. Her fiancé's name is Robert Godley.
It's a Bennett. Bennett.
Pretty cool.
I guess if you're a... If you run a law firm or something. Sounds...
I'm sorry?
It just sounds... Bennett.
Bennett.
It's not like a cool kid name, is it?
I'm sure he'll be Benny when he's little. Yeah, and he'll be Bennett when he's out there in the...
Yes, Bennett. Call me Bennett.
That's just how I...
Now you're a name snob?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Why does Kevin hate?
I'm upset about everything today. Just
apparently.
Ralph, did you see 30 Rock last night?
One of the best episodes ever.
And there's so
many inside jokes last night.
So many inside jokes.
Including Jane Krakowski has a hysterical pregnancy. Her character has an hysterical pregnancy in the show because she was actually pregnant. And then there's a moment where Tina Fey looks at her and goes, "Oh, my God, Jenna, your stomach." And her stomach's completely flat. She's had the baby, so it was very, very funny.
And I just love that they kept talking about what a terrible mother she'd be and how she should never have a child and just on and on and on. It was just that you know that they were only doing that because it was funny that she just was having a baby.
It was so many jokes like that last night for the show. I was surprised that they would put that many inside jokes into the show. Ken Howard plays the head of Cable Town,
right,
who's coming in to buy NBC. And Ken Howard is the president of SAG, Screen Actors Guild. And so they were talking about actors last night, and in character he says, "I once had to give a speech to SAG. What a bunch of lunatics those actors are." And then Alec Baldwin's talking about how you can lose any respectability that you have. And he tells Tracy Jordan, "You should go on television. Because it doesn't matter how big a movie star you are, you could have walked away from a major blockbuster franchise or worked with people like Meryl Streep or Robert De Niro. You could have killed them on Broadway. But once you go to television, no one will ever take you seriously again."
That's funny.
It was. It was just joke after joke. It was very entertaining. And Alec Baldwin was wearing a Philadelphia Flyers tie last night.
Oh, so you've got to be kidding.
Feeling very good about
that. That's fantastic.
Very good about the game tonight. I think we're blessed by Jack Donaghy.
Where are you? 2-2?
2-2, yeah. Where are you guys again?
I don't remember.
Where are the Sharks? Sharks Kings? What's that series at? It's not 2-2, I don't think.
No, I think we're about the same. Though.
Is it about the same?
I think, yeah. It's 3-1.
Oh, 3-1. Oh, 3-1. So one more
not
loss.
Not as good.
One more loss by the Kings.
Correct.
Would end that series.
Well, technically, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
But at least two of the last three games are in San Jose.
So. Well, that's all
we got that going
got
for us.
You have the non-home ice advantage, which is always good. Yeah.
You're not also following the Sixers, I take it, Ralph.
No, I'm not.
He's not an NBA guy.
No one's following the Sixers.
Yeah, not. They're having a tough time with Miami.
Ethan Hawke, speaking of babies, is going to have his hands full with four kids. Apparently, the actor's expecting another baby with his wife, Ryan. They've got a 2-year-old daughter, Clementine. And apparently she really wants a baby brother, so that's what they're hoping for. Actor has two children already with his ex-wife, Uma Thurman, a 12-year-old named Maya, and a 9-year-old son named Levon.
Levon.
Got nothing on Clementine.
Yeah. I wonder if Clementine will ever meet Bennett.
Bet they will in preschool. Well, congratulations, everyone. We made it past the Terminator anniversary.
What? Oh, yeah.
Last night, April 21st, 2011, was the day in the Sarah Connor Chronicles that Cyberdyne Systems launched Skynet. It became self-aware, and it launched its robot onslaught against mankind. But last night came wet, and apparently we're good.
Mm-hmm.
It's because John Connor came back.
Because John Connor came back.
Yelled at that lighting guy.
Or, no! No!
Or the traffic caused by Obama's visit was so snarling they couldn't get to the launch site to launch Skynet.
They will, just they haven't yet.
Craziness.
We have gotten to the point where no city ever wants a president to visit.
Now, I was talking to some friends yesterday, and they said if you really wanted to raise money, if you wanted to raise campaign funds, you have an auction for him not to come to your city. He
yeah.
threatens to come to your city and say, look, if you give us, you know, like $50 million, we won't land in your city and ruin traffic for you. It would be skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Numbers would go to the war coffers of whatever candidate said that. Genius.
I totally get protecting the president, and obviously that's important and needs to be done. But do you have to close down streets for a mile around where the president's car is, really? Is that necessary?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the Secret Service or how they protect presidents.
I do, but I can't really,
you can't really talk
about, it. Right?
And speaking of presidential politics, Donald Trump is slamming comedian Jerry Seinfeld because Seinfeld apparently canceled an appearance at a benefit for Donald's son's Eric Trump Foundation over Donald continually pounding on the birther issue. Apparently Seinfeld pulled out of the benefit because he is fed up with Trump questioning whether President Obama was born in the United States or not. Trump sent a letter to Seinfeld, said, I just learned you canceled a show for my son's charity because of the fact that I am very aggressive with respect to President Obama, who's doing an absolutely terrible job as our leader. Trump also said that Seinfeld's show, The Marriage Ref, was absolutely terrible. You want to just get that in there in case they never had a chance to talk again. By the way, your show stinks too. Celebrity Apprentice, woo! So he closed out the letter. Robert Pattinson can't stand clowns. Robert Pattinson hates clowns.
Come on, he seems like he would love them.
A lot of people have fears of clowns.
I know, but Robert Pattinson, man, he's just a party.
Pattinson has a legitimate excuse, I think.
What happened?
When he was a child, he went to the circus, and the clowns were going around, and one of the tiny cars the clowns ride in exploded during their performance. Everyone had to evacuate the circus.
Sweet.
And the poor clown inside the vehicle died.
Oh, no.
Due to the accident.
God. Oh, no.
Really? He saw a clown blow up in front of him. No wonder he's scared.
You don't want to see a clown die.
No.
That's this something. Is like,
the day the laughter
like,
died.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like, Kevin, your skydiving experience that you witnessed. I mean, you're put off of skydiving for your whole life. It's the same thing with him and clowns. That's crazy.
Everyone's sad that Stefano's gone?
Stefano
from American Idol.
That's crazy. He was clearly the best.
No, he was pretty awful.
He was awful.
It was time for him to go.
Way past time.
But American Idol update, Stefano was booted off. The bottom three contestants were Haley, Jacob, and Stefano, and he's gone. But on the upside, Katy Perry was there.
Yeah, lip syncing poorly.
Performed her new single, E.T. She was in a lighty, glowy, Tron-y sort of outfit.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then Kanye West came out in a fur vest and rapped for everyone. So I think it's hard to tell.
He's a unique dude, that Kanye.
He is unique. Well, it was freezing in L.A. last night. You can imagine while he was wearing his fur vest. Just glad he didn't come out in mucklucks. Whatever mucklucks are.
I don't even know what that word means.
And speaking of American Idol, Jennifer Lopez may be leaving the show at the end of this season.
After all this time?
After all this time.
Wow.
Her contract is reportedly only for 1 year, and Entertainment Weekly says that she and her husband, Mark Anthony, are shopping their own reality show called Que Vida, which would be a search for the hottest undiscovered talent in Latin America. Ha! Take that, American Idol. How about Latin American Idol?
Don't they already have a version of this everywhere by now?
I think they do.
Oh.
But this would be sort of a larger regional competition as opposed to country by country.
I see.
They would go through all of Latin America and find their own idol.
Did somebody order Mexican?
J-Lo is working with the Idol creator Simon Fuller on this project, but it's unclear whether she'll return to be a judge on American Idol or not, or whether take a full-on responsibilities as producer creator of this new show in Latin America.
Has she been good?
She's been real good.
Yeah. I think she's the best judge on that on that panel. But she may not be around for long. Maybe we can get Ellen back.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And Kara.
Yeah, get Kara back. Today's celebrity birthdays, Amber Heard.
Yes. Yes.
Amber Heard.
I wrote a movie for her. She's going to star in my movie.
I finally met her, fulfilled my dreams. We spent some time together in a liquor store parking lot.
Right after she met me, she decided she was a lesbian.
Hey, wait a minute. I know.
Kevin and Bean listener Nick, who has a crush on her like crazy.
Where's that 500-page screenplay?
He fails on every level.
He promised it to us, if I recall correctly, and I'd have to check my notes, by the end of October.
Yes, that's what I recall as well. Chavo from System of a Down is 37 years old. Sherry Shepherd, TV personality, is 44. Jeffrey Dean Morgan from Grey's Anatomy turns 45. Fletcher of Pennywise is also 45. Peter Frampton, legendary guitarist and singer and songwriter, is 61. John Waters, the director of such classics as Hairspray, Pink Flamingos, he's 65 years old. And Jack Nicholson, the man, the king of Hollywood. Long live the king.
King of the world.
74 years old today. He's doing all right for 74.
No kidding.
He lose a few pounds. But other than that, he's still Jack. Still got that going for him.
Yeah.
He's going to pull more tail today on his birthday than you've had in your entire life.
That's all of us together, yes. Probably.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Finally, Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, your favorite show, Dancing with the Stars. Kendra Wilkinson joins us in about a half an hour.
I do love that show.
She's the kind of girl who I'm fascinated to talk to because she gets in Playboy all the time, is always naked, yet doesn't like guys to look at her in a sexy way. So we got to talk to her about that up here. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right now, though, if you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067, if you are a huge Metallica fan and you know they're one of the great bands playing tomorrow at the Big Four show in Indio, if you know your Metallica lyrics, you'll have a shot to win tickets to the show from the Kevin and Bean program. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We've got a new game to play for you in about 15 minutes.
I am not a fan of the royal family. I don't buy into the whole queen thing. It's stupid that Prince Charles might have any position of any importance anywhere as he's a giant douchebag.
But he deserves it because he was born into a family that already has that job, Kevin, and right. That's how democracy works.
And thank you for crystallizing exactly why I hate it, because it's stupid beyond words that Prince Charles now gets this kind of treatment. Now, we found out something. Was it yesterday? Did you bring in that clip, Bean?
Yes, from the Barbara Walters special about the upcoming royal wedding. We found out something shocking about the royal family that we didn't know. When Kevin's referring to this kind of treatment, listen to this guy that Baba Wawa was talking to, who has written a book about the royal family and some of the revelations that came out about how Charles lives his life.
Okay, a handsome prince is swept off his feet by this beautiful princess-to-be.
That's the wrong clip. But yeah. This one, however, is going to tell you more about what I was just saying.
You think the British monarchy should be abolished, yes?
Yeah, that's right.
And then there's the question of what the monarchy costs. $290 million a year, according to some critics.
It's astonishingly opulent. Charles Windsor has never squeezed his own toothpaste. Someone does that every morning for
him.
Still? The Queen Mother set the pattern, which is still followed. She had 83 personal servants. She had 3 full-time chauffeurs. What did they do? Cut her into 3 pieces to transport her. It's an absolutely bizarre amount of opulence, and it's all paid for by me and by every British taxpayer.
So Prince Charles, the man who one day will be king, is 53 years old and has never squeezed his own toothpaste in his life.
Now, is that code?
Or no. I don't think it is. I don't think it's a sexual euphemism. I think they're literally talking about the kind of mundane tasks like, you know, washing dishes and doing laundry, things that we take for granted. He's never done them, in part because he relies on his key aide, a man named Michael Fawcett, who's been at the prince's side for some time. And believe it or not, he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show, Prince Charles' personal valet. Mr. Fawcett, thanks so much for coming on. We know you have a busy week with the royal wedding straight ahead.
Well, it's my pleasure to talk to you fellas, and so I'm very happy to do it.
This was a little bit of a bombshell in this country. I don't think most of us knew how much you do for the prince.
Well, the royal family deserves all the special treatment that they get.
Because?
Because they are the royals, sir. Yeah. Because they are the family of lineage that is
right.
the conquering family of Britain that represents all good things that are British.
Now, according to the story, Prince Charles has never squeezed his own toothpaste. So that's your job. You have to go into the royal bathroom and put the toothpaste on his toothbrush, and he's never done that for himself.
You make it sound so ridiculous.
It's sir. Ridiculous!
But in reality, taking care of a British person's teeth is the easiest job that I have. I only have to squeeze the toothpaste once every few months.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I see.
I got you. What, I mean, I think about how many people that the guy we were just listening to the clip from is describing work in the palace. I mean, there must be hundreds of people who work to do everything from, you know, opening the mail to walking the dogs, right?
Every possible task, every possible chore that comes up in regards to keeping the royal family happy is handled by either myself or my staff, and I couldn't be more proud to perform the every little thing that comes up at the castle has to be attended to by me.
What? You have a sea lion there
for
at the
example,
castle?
The caring of the royal sea lions. That is also my duty. I throw the fish every morning. I squeeze a herring onto a brush and I give it to them. They couldn't be more happy. It's my turn to wind Big Ben.
You're the guy who has to climb up and wind the clock?
Running a little late. Yes, of course.
You have to wind
everything
it?
For the royal family.
Wow.
Yes, I have to go blow Charles' nose. Give me a second, apparently he's got a bit of a sneeze.
Now that seems like something he ought to be able to do himself. It's his nose.
He just leans forward and gives me that huge nose of his, and I wrap about 3 or 4 feet of handkerchief around it, and he gives a blow.
Wow.
Oh, the royal cock is loose. I have to go get that.
That's a rooster, right, Michael?
Yes, in England. We use different phrases, I guess, than we do in America.
Yeah. What?
Oh, the royal African dancers have arrived. I have to bathe and feed them.
Why do you have African dancers in England?
I have no idea. It's something Charles likes to do behind closed doors with Camilla. I have never really asked what that's all about. Oh, the royal firecrackers have arrived.
Wow.
Excellent.
That's great.
It's time for us to celebrate non-4th of July, as we like to call it. where we lost. Oh, I have to queue up to Sir Charles' favorite song. It's almost time for him to rise from his nap.
What? You play that for the prince every morning?
Oh, he loves badgers.
How about that? Your job is more bizarre than I even imagined, Michael.
Oh, mushroom. Oh, snake! Oh, get the royal snake catcher!
It's a big show tomorrow. We talked to Lars Ulrich on the air when it was announced. It was a huge hit. And where did we decide it was? Bulgaria or
Finland or
someplace? They did it in Europe, and they finally brought it to the United States, and it's finally here tomorrow. We're talking about the Big Four at the Empire Polo Fields in India. We're talking about Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com, or you can win them right now with a game we like to call the Wheel of Celebrity Voices.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Voices.
Or just real celebrities. So the way the game is played here, as I understand it, it's been a while since we played it, is that we spin the wheel. Whatever celebrity it lands on is going to be reading lyrics from a popular Metallica song.
Yes.
All the listener has to do is tell us what song that is, and they're in the drawing to win the tickets.
Got a bunch of performers in the other room. We've amassed a large crowd of celebrities.
How did you get them to come in so early?
It's
this
like,
is crazy.
It's like Oscar night in the other room. They're just waiting. They're just in the bullpen waiting for their chance to read some lyrics.
All right. We have Bob Dylan on the wheel. We have Arnold Schwarzenegger. We have Al Pacino.
Wow.
We have Bjork.
Wow.
We have Sarah Palin. We have Jack Nicholson.
They're not getting along.
Hulk Hogan. We have William Shatner. Jeez. Nicolas Cage.
Wow.
I mean,
there's
too many.
All in the next room just ready to come in case it lands on that?
Right.
That's shocking
Night
to me.
Night of a thousand stars.
That's correct.
No kidding. All right. Well, let's go to Hector. He's on line one. He'll be our first contestant, and then we'll spin the wheel and find out who's reading lyrics for Hector. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, Kevin and Bean.
How are you?
Good.
All right. You ready to identify some lyrics?
Ready for it.
Here we go. Let's spin the wheel and see what celebrity comes in to do it. Oh, our future president, Donald Trump. How about that?
Excellent. Greatest reader of lyrics ever in the history of all people who've ever read lyrics.
Is that a long list?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Donald Trump is going to read lyrics for you. Then you got to tell us what the song is called.
Okay. Ready to go.
Never cared for what they know, but I know never opened myself this way. Life is ours. We live it our way. These words I don't just say.
It's going to be nothing else matters.
That's correct.
Yeah, nicely well done. Done.
Greatest answer to any question ever asked on the Kevin and Bean show.
It can't be the greatest. It's just right or wrong. It's just right or wrong.
The very best.
Okay.
You're fired.
He goes in the drawing. Let's go to Zach. Hi, Zach.
Hi.
Got to spin the wheel again. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. And it is Bjork.
Bjork.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for having me in your wonderful forest of love.
Bjork, are you familiar with Metallica? Do you know that band at all?
Yes, of course. And they are so popular in the fjords of ice where I play with many robots having badminton sessions.
Okay. Well, let's forget about badminton for a moment. Read some lyrics, please, for our man Zach on the line.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word and never mind that noise you heard. It's just the beast under your bed, in your closet, in your head.
Enter Sandman.
That's correct.
That's right.
Well done.
That actually sounded like something Bjork might read when you actually
went. If I put a bear on a ferry in it, it'd be perfect.
All right, Matt, you are contestant number 3. You ready to name that celebrity?
Hell yeah.
You're not really going to name the celebrity as much as you are going to give us a Metallica song title. I'll name the celebrity if you don't mind, Bean.
All right. That's better. That's better, actually, the way you're doing it.
Oh, the future president of the United States, Sarah Palin.
Oh, don't you know this is the greatest day to be here with you lame liberals. It's so good. Don't you know? Wink.
All right. If you don't mind reading some rock and roll, Sarah, we'd like these Metallica
lyrics.
Well,
it is the devil's music, but I'll do it the best I can, don't you know? Okay, here we go. And the wrong one.
Start
never
again.
Mind. Try again. Empty, they say, death. Won't you let me stay? Empty, they say, death. Won't you call your name? Oh, call your name.
Oh,
Matt.
I can't think of anything. Oh.
You can't think of any song titles by Metallica?
Oh, I can think of many, but.
How about the one that he just read from? Who was it? She.
Sorry, I can't.
Oh. Cyanide.
Won't you let me stay?
I do like their version a little better, but all right.
Mainstream media, that's what you say with your gotcha journalism.
The lyrics kind of lent themselves to at least guessing Cyanide, too, since they were all about death. All right, we got time for a couple more. Chris is on line 4. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Name the Hit, I think is what this game is called.
Yeah, sure. Name the Hit. That's what it's called. All right, we got Jack Nicholson. Fantastic.
Well, this is an excellent way to spend my birthday.
Oh, sorry about that, Jack.
I mean to get you up so early, but...
It's all right, I haven't been to sleep yet.
Ah, okay.
And the road becomes my bride. I have stripped off all but pride. So in her, I do confide and... She keeps me satisfied. Darth Vader on the line?
I didn't know we had Darth Vader on the line. What's going on?
Chris, what are you doing while we're talking to you?
I was listening, damn it.
Listening
in an iron lung, apparently.
What song was Jack Nicholson just reading lyrics from?
I was Enter Sandman.
No, it sure wasn't.
No. Yeah, it's wherever I may roam. Sorry.
Thanks for calling. Good luck with the asthma.
Good luck on that respirator.
All right, let's try another Chris, this time line 5. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play? Sure you are. Let's go.
He's in a hurry. Oh, good. It landed on Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, are you kidding me?
Hulkster.
The Hulkster. Hey, you guys, how you doing? It's me, Hulk Hogan. Can you tell?
Yeah, hi, Hulk Hogan.
So tear me open, but beware the things inside without a care, brother. And the dirt still stains me, so wash me till I'm clean, and remember to eat some fruit.
That last part, not really in the song.
No, the fruit part, Hulk was, he was ad-libbing.
All right, Chris, song title.
Hello?
Actually, until it sleeps. All right, we got time for maybe one more. Why not?
why not Stephen, line six? Stephen, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You'll never be able to top the last Chris, though.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. I'm going to spin the wheel. You're going to give us a Metallica song title, and it is Harrison Ford.
Oh, Harrison
Ford. How about
that?
One of the biggest celebrities in the world.
Hi, Harrison. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Now, Harrison, you're going to need to speak up because Stephen needs to hear the words.
No.
What we're telling you is that Stephen's on the phone. He's going to be trying to identify the song you're reading lyrics for, so it's important that you project here.
All right.
He's counting on you.
I'll scream.
Okay. Right. Scream. Yeah, that's great. If that's what it takes, sure.
Hold my breath as I wish for death.
This is you screaming?
Oh, please, God, wake me. Now the world is gone. I'm just one. Oh, God, help me. Hold my breath as I wish for death. Oh, please, God, help me.
You sure that's just not your dream every night, prayer?
I wish for death every night.
You're so close to death as it is.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen.
Yeah, it's one.
It is one.
Hold my breath as I wish for death.
Yeah.
Very appropriate that he landed on Harrison Ford for that one.
I'm very excited. Right?
I can tell. Yeah, you seem like the kind of guy who would love Metallica.
Yeah.
Big Metallica fan? You ever seen him live?
Thank you, Mr. Ford. We appreciate you stopping by.
In the middle of a story.
I know, but we don't have time.
We got to go.
Thank you.
Is it going to be Hector or Zach or Steven? Who's going to win the tickets for the Big Four tomorrow from the Kevin Beach?
It is going to be Zach, who's on his way. To the Big Four. Congratulations, Zach.
Thanks.
That's my pick.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:39.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is finally Friday. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up later on. We'll talk to Corey Perry from the Anaheim Ducks, smack dab in the middle of the NHL run for the Stanley Cup. Also from the Beastie Boys, and also now playing with Travis Barker and Lil Wayne. Mixmaster Mike joins us later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. I remember, Kevin, one of the first things I ever learned about the beautiful Kendra Wilkinson was this. I thought, well, that's a deal breaker. I can never truly love that woman if that's what I'm going to have to listen to. But then after seeing her on the E! And seeing her in the Playboy and now on Dancing with the Stars, I believe I'm very deeply in love with our next guest, Kendra Wilkinson, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, Kendra?
Hey, what's going on?
I haven't heard much of that laugh lately. Have you figured out a way to control that or what?
No, I actually laugh a lot. It's what they do. The editors cut it down to like 2 minutes of what they want the story to be each week. So, you know, then that's what you get. You know, they film 4 hours every day. I'm not like a pity party every minute. I'm like, trust me, I laugh. I laugh my butt off a lot. And you know, they do what they choose to do with the footage.
But you're kind of used to that. I mean, you know, having done a few seasons of reality television, I mean, you know, that's what they do in the editing bay is they try to shape a story. And their storyline for you on Dancing with the Stars seems to be, you know, that you're sad. I mean, that's what they seem to want to portray for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not that I'm sad. It's that I'm real. It's that, you know, I'm not going to hold back. If I have something to say, I'm going to say it, you know. And it's not going to be positive. It's going to, you know, be my real feedback. And, you know, it's not necessarily, like, sad. It's just that, you know, but it's not that I'm sad. It's just that I've never experienced the adrenaline like I have on Dance with the Stars. Adrenaline does stuff to me that I have never felt before. And it's like... And, like, I can't help it, but after the dance, I just want to cry because it's like, what am I doing? Like, I look in the mirror sometimes, I feel like I'm playing a Halloween costume, like, I don't know, without the candy or something. It's like, but yeah, I mean, the Latin dances are the fun ones. If you notice, like, I'm really into those. I, like, laugh a lot with, I'm into those. But
did you know a lot about any of this type of dancing before?
Never in my life. I mean, I've always been outside. My whole life, I've always been outside.
If they held the competition outside, would that help you?
If
they held the competition outside, would that be better for you?
Oh, yeah. I'm an outside person, man. I love... Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so funny, and you're right. You are, I mean, you are known for being outspoken and being honest. But when you talk about what you see when you look in the mirror, a lot of these interviews that I've seen with you lately, you always talk about how you're a tomboy and you like to be outside and stuff. And is it really possible? Because I can't get my head around somebody who looks like you, Kendra. Is it really possible that you don't see what a beautiful woman you are?
It's just that I don't try to. I'm not a materialistic person. I'm very. What makes me feel good is what is real, not what is like a material or like makeup or hair. I think it's, I'm more saying that like something like just real stuff in life make me feel better than it than you know dressing up like Halloween every Monday. You know, it's I mean I love it. You know, it's fun and it's like it's definitely a role that I'm playing. But sometimes, yeah, I feel like I don't know. I feel like I'm confused sometimes. You know, whenever.
Yes.
Whenever I'm dressed up like a lady, you know, and people think that I'm trying to be that, and like I'm like, no, I'm not trying to be that. I'm Kendra. You know, after this, I'm gonna go back to my sweats, my hoodie, and my Nikes, and I'm good.
I saw your interview with our friend Dr. Drew the other night on his Headline News show, and he refused to accept the fact that some girls, and you said you were one of them, are not coming from abusive households, just like to strip because there's a lot of money in it. And he refused to accept that. It didn't seem like he was going to let you off that stage until you admitted that you were somehow emotionally damaged before you could take your clothes off.
I know, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to get deep into it because, you know, there are a lot of people that have been abused, so I'm not going to, you know... But that he kept arguing with me even after the TV was off.
And really?
I was like, dude, don't you think I would have written it in my book if that would have been true? I'm not going to sit here and lie. I'm like, you know, at the time, I needed my money.
Sure. But I was so happy. I was so validated in that moment because I realized there are actually happy strippers out there. And, you know, Dr. Drew is always trying to bum us out by telling us that all strippers are sad. And I just want to thank you for that, Kendra.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. I'm sticking up for myself.
I go the other way. I go the other way. I think all strippers are happy. That's the way I look at it.
This is the voice of Kendra Wilkinson on the phone right now. Of course, she is a contestant on Dancing with the Stars. How much did you get to know our friend Psycho Mike when he was on the show, Kendra? Because you know he's worked on this show for 5 years.
Yeah. You know, I got to know a little bit about him. You know, I've been on a show a couple times, and I've worked with them a lot, you know, before, so I've gotten a chance to... You know, but yeah, he's cool. Still the same guy. He's really, really smart.
Yeah, but he made all the other dancers feel so good about their own dancing ability once they saw Mike, right?
I mean, we're all kind of the same. I mean, I'm sure if Mike would have stayed in, he would have grown a lot. But you know, we all kind of came from that. So you know, it's who staying on to grow. You know, is you know, it's all about the growth thing right now.
Tell me about what it's like to be once you're in the Playboy family, and you were certainly in the Playboy family, you know, living at the mansion and being with Hef for a couple of years. Is it a deal like where you're in the family for life? It's a fraternity forever, and you can always go back and you always stay in touch with those people and you make lifelong friends? Or is it a phase in your life that you do and then it's behind you and you never think about it again?
You know, some people look at it like that, like, oh, they want to go back, like, every day, and, you know, it's a part of them, and they never want it to end, and they just, it's really, like, they live, even though they, you know, people don't live there anymore, they still carry it with them, and they still go back every day. But, you know, I'm a person, like, you know, if I graduated high school, I'm going to move on from high school, you know, if I move out of the Playboy Mansion, I'm going to leave that there, you know, I kind of leave stuff the way it is and move on. I'm not a person that really, you know, Hef always gets kind of like, you know, a little bit sad because I don't go over as much as I should or whatever.
Hey, but, how come you don't care anymore? Hey, what about me?
I do care. It's just that, you know, I have a whole different life right now. And it's like, you know, it's something that, you know, it's like a time I kind of want to leave. I'm not saying Hef is a great friend and he's always there for me, but I'm saying that lifestyle, you know, that whole lifestyle I want to leave behind me.
Is it true that you're going back for the wedding, though, and he wasn't going to get married unless his Kendra could be there watching it?
He said that, but he was joking. But, yeah, I'll definitely be at the wedding, you know, rooting him on and...
The story that we heard was that he wouldn't do it without you. That was a joke, you say?
Yeah, no. I actually went on Jay Leno the other day, and and we revealed the email that Hef sent to me. And it was funny. It was a joke. And saying, I'll change the wedding date if you want me to, if you can't make it to the wedding.
Last question for you on that, Kendra, and that is, why do you think he's getting married? I mean, he's got to be close to his mid-80s or something like that. What makes him want to get married again?
I don't know. You know, I couldn't answer that question. I think that he just wants to be married. I guess he loves the girl. That's really all I can really say about that. I don't really know anything
else, really. Dancing with the Stars airs Monday nights at 8, the results show Tuesday nights at 9. Kendra, have you already gone further than you thought you would go?
Oh, yeah, for sure, you know, for sure. It's like, you know, Monday night is if any night would be my night, it would be Monday night with my samba, so.
All right. We'll be watching and praying for a wardrobe malfunction. Thank you so much for joining us. Always great to catch up with you on the Kevin DeBean Show. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's our friend Ralph Garman on the Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to Jane Krakowski of 30 Rock. She's a first-time mommy at the age of 42. She welcomed a baby boy into the world with her fiancé, Robert Godley, last Wednesday. The little guy weighed in at 7 pounds, 12 ounces. According to family, has a beautiful head of blonde hair and is named Bennett.
Bennett.
Godley.
Bennett.
I am Bennett Godley. You will bow before Godley.
He's Godley. Not a Superman villain, Ralph.
Godley.
You know.
Godley, for God's sakes. Speaking of babies, Kate Hudson is pregnant with a baby, of course. And she says she hates her new and improved boobs.
She hates her new and improved boobs.
Kate's usually walking around with A's. But now she says since she's become pregnant, they've grown to D's.
Dude, she might finally be attractive.
She hates them.
Don't hate.
She's not used to carrying them around. They get in the way. And they're difficult to fit into her favorite fashions.
Hmm.
Hey, you know what? Just have your big boobs and enjoy them the way we enjoy them and just stop it.
I don't remember if she knows who the father of this baby is, but does he have any comment? Does he have anything to say about this?
She does know who the father is.
Oh, she does.
But he has had no comment on her boobs. But I'm guessing it would be a positive comment if he did have one. Kate is, by the way, not above talking about her work, even though she is pending motherhood on the horizon. She is going to be playing real-life Triple X star Linda Lovelace from the legendary porn film Deep Throat. Says the porn star had an interesting but controversial life and says it's a great role and she's looking forward to playing it. Well, that should come in handy with the big boobs, by the way. Because we don't want to see you play a porn star with your tiny little A cups. Okay, Kate Hudson?
No, just start being big boobed.
And be happy
and pipe
with it.
Down. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld's in trouble with Donald Trump. Apparently he backed out of a charity event that's run by Donald's son, Eric Trump. The Eric Trump Foundation had a benefit where Jerry was supposed to perform, but he backed out because he does not approve of Donald Trump harping on the idea that President Obama perhaps wasn't born in this country. A birther is what he is. And Jerry said, I'm not interested in that. So he backed out. So Donald Trump sent him a strongly worded letter. Sound like anybody we know?
No.
I just learned you canceled a show for my son's charity, Trump said in a letter to Seinfeld, because of the fact that I am being very aggressive with respect to President Obama, who's doing an absolutely terrible job as our leader. Trump also added in the letter, the marriage ref was absolutely terrible. I don't know, it's really the right letter to critique his television career in after you're talking about politics.
But. It's very rare for Jerry Seinfeld to be this politically motivated. You know, he generally is completely nonpartisan, as many comedians are, because he doesn't want to alienate half his audience. But apparently it must just really rub him the wrong way what Trump is doing.
In movie news, Jeremy Renner apparently will be the new star of the new Bourne films.
Oh, really?
They are restarting the Bourne franchise. Matt Damon, of course, famously played the character in 3 films.
I love all 3 of those films.
The upcoming film is Bourne Legacy. And they're going in a brand new direction with a brand new star. Renner's become quite the action adventure hero. He is starring with Tom Cruise in the next Mission Impossible film. And he's going to play Hawkeye, the superhero, in the upcoming Avengers movie. So he is well-prepared to play a secret agent spy and a good actor, too. Yeah.
What's wrong with Matt Damon? Why can't they just make more Bourne movies with him? I mean, it's not like he's old or not capable.
They wrapped up that whole storyline in three. I mean, he went back and kicked ass.
Yeah.
And wrapped it up.
So, and it's a new director, new producer. It's a brand new team taking on the project as well. So I think they all felt like we did our thing and someone else would
do it. It would be funny if he got hit on the head again and he's like, now I can't still remember.
Who am I? What? Why can I do all these things?
Again?
It's so cool.
It is weird that the new trend seems to be rebooting movies from the last 5 years.
They don't waste any time.
Nope.
That's a great series, but if they're going to take it a different direction with a different actor, I'm in.
Yeah. It's a spy movie. They're just using the Bourne name, I'm sure, just to, give people a chance to, buy into something they've already established. So, smart move. And John Travolta and Uma Thurman may be reuniting in movie news. Oliver Stone wants to put them together in his new film, Savages. It's a big ensemble cast. Oh, a surprise for an Oliver Stone movie.
Mm-hmm.
John, Uma, Blake Lively, Taylor Kitsch, Salma Hayek, and Benicio del Toro.
Wow.
All in the film. It's about drug cartels. Benicio will play a drug lord, and Salma Hayek will play the wife of a Mexican cartel leader. I would watch that.
I would, too. Sounds good.
And Justin Bieber has made it to Time Magazine's list of the 100 most influential people.
He's not number one, though.
No, but he's on the list.
All right.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they going to put Donny Osmond and David Cassidy on there, too?
In their day, they probably would have.
Bruno Mars is also on the list. Sting, South Korean pop star Rain, and Patti Smith, of all people.
Okay.
Her last hit was 1977.
Patti Smith.
Yeah. You can see the full list at time.com if you want to see if your favorite is on there, but I'm guessing it won't be because it's a weird list. Today's celebrity birthday is Amber Heard, 25 years old today. Chavo of System of a Down is 37. Sherry Shepherd from TV is 44. Jeffrey Dean Morgan from Grey's Anatomy. He also played the comedian in Watchmen. Great actor. Right. Great role. 45 years old. Fletcher of Pennywise is also 45. Ryan Stiles from The Drew Carey Show is 52. Peter Frampton turns 61. John Waters, the director and writer, is 65. And Jack Nicholson celebrates his 74th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Gave away tickets for Big Four last hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Still to come, we've got your tickets for Soundgarden, July 22nd at the Forum. You didn't wake up after a coma and miss something. Soundgarden is back together. They're actually playing the Forum on July 22nd. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. or you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show when you hear us play a Soundgarden song. Could come up at any time. Just be caller 20 and you'll win them.
Now, what's the problem here, Bean? Because I think I had a similar problem as you have.
Oh, the thing I was telling you off the air?
Yeah.
Don't get me started on this. Well, I don't want to be cranky all day. My internet is out, and I should say I've been an Earthlink customer for about 15 years now, and I love them in that my internet never goes out. And you know what it's like for a guy like me when the internet goes out, right?
It's your lifeblood.
I just curl up and die. It's like stepping on my oxygen hose. What am I going to do without the internet, right? So my internet goes out, which is extraordinarily rare. I can't remember the last time that it happened. So I had to pick up the phone and call Earthlink customer service. Now, I know that they try to save time and money and man hours by putting recordings on almost any business that you call these days. It's almost impossible. There's very few businesses you can name that you can pick up the phone and call and a human answers. This doesn't happen anymore. You're going to have to go through a certain amount of menus to get to the right person. But I was on the phone for, it had to be close to an hour yesterday.
Sweet. Explaining your problem?
Trying to get to somebody to explain my problem to. Because I have to be honest, I do dig in and I try everything I can to get to a real person. And you can't press zero to talk to a live human at Earthlink. They don't have that option like they do for a lot of other companies. That's what you normally want to do.
That's
the shortcut, right? Yeah. They insist that you choose from the options on the menu, yet none of the options on the menu that they are offering you are exactly what it is you're trying to do. So you just have to kind of guess which department to go to.
Which is closest?
Which is closest, right. And then there's a whole nother list. I don't even know how many menus I went through. It must have been a dozen menus that I went through before I could finally try to get to somebody.
But wait a minute. How does Earthlink, an internet provider, not have one of the options be internet?
They do have an option of internet, and they remind you of that when you're on hold. Every 45 seconds, they come on and go, did you know you could probably solve this problem by logging on to earthlink.net? To which every single time, I have to scream into my receiver where there's not a human on the other end and say, I don't have internet. I can't do that. And that just kills you. It kills
but
you because
they don't repeat it. You don't hear it more than once.
Every 45 seconds, they come on and tell you that. And it drives you crazy because if you had internet, if you could solve this problem on the internet, you wouldn't have a problem because you'd have internet. Do you mind? Can I show you what I'm talking about? Do you mind? Yeah. Can we give them a call and try to sort this thing out?
Sure.
Because I don't know. You've got the 1-800-EARTHLINK number. Let's dial these guys up because it's unbelievably frustrating to not be able to get to a real human. And I try to play their silly reindeer games, but it almost seems like they're mocking me by going around in circles. Gotta get my internet back. I can't live.
Hello?
Oh, there's that too, by the way. Wow. I forgot.
Hello, and thank you for calling Earthlink.
Oh, good.
My name is Kenny.
Hey, Kenny, we
have
a problem.
I am not an actual person. Oh. I am a recording. But I am here to offer you some excellent choices so we may help you. Did you know that you can solve perhaps any problem you might have by going to www.earthlink.net/membercenter/gethelp.faces/tab=support options? However, if you would like to use this phone number, press the number that corresponds with the problem you are having.
Okay.
If you would like to make a payment, press 1 now.
No. That.
If you would like to hear more about Earthlink's new products and services, press 2 now.
I need help. I've got no internet.
If you have troubleshooting with your internet, press 3 now.
Is that it?
I don't have internet. I guess troubleshooting. Yeah, let's try that. What the hell? I didn't try that one yesterday. And they're all in India. There's no American employees left at Earthlink, by the way. Every one of them lives in Calcutta.
Hello, my name is Chet. I am not a real person, but I am a recording. Here
what happened
you
to Kenny?
With your issues. Did you know that you can solve many problems by going to www.earthlink.net/membercenter/gethelp.faces/tab=support options? However, if you would like to use this phone service, please press the number that corresponds with the problem you
are
having.
I don't have any choice. I have to.
If your internet is too slow and you'd like tips on how to make it faster, press 1 now.
Nope, that's not it.
If you're having a problem connecting to the internet, press 2 now.
There it is.
Okay.
There it is.
If you
great.
Think your service is just too good, press 3 now.
let's stick with 2.
2, fine.
Hello, my name is Ryan. Thank you so much for calling into this.
Hey, Ryan,
I am not a real person. I am on the phone.
Man.
So if you would like to solve your problem, you can go to www.earthlink.net/membercenter/gethelp.faces/tab=support options. However, if you would like to use this phone, please get the number that is corresponding with your problem.
You see what I mean? You can't get out of the menu.
Have you tried connecting to the internet? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no.
No.
Well, of course I've tried. I can't, though.
Which one is it, then?
What?
One
this
or two?
Is quite an active menu.
Wait, you said you were...
Okay, press the button.
What?
Hello.
Are you just effing with
this?
This
is Ira.
Hi,
I am
Ira.
Not a real person.
What?
I am on
what?
The phone.
Come on.
But you said you have tried to connect to the internet.
Yes!
Did you know that you can solve many problems by going to www.earthlink.net/membercenter/gethelp.faces/tab?
I'm
going
to fly to India and I'm going to murder you all.
If you would...
What? What just happened?
Where's Ira? What happened to Ira?
Ira was...
Hello, my name is Cliff. Thank you for calling Earthlink.
Hi, we were calling about internet service.
You think you have tried to start your computer and the internet service?
Yes.
In our opinion at Earthlink, internet is overrated. In fact, we think it might be a fad.
That's what you
what?
Do.
If you would like tips on how to write a handwritten letter, press 1 now.
No, I want my
if
internet back.
If you would like
back.
To learn how to use Morse code, press 2 now.
What are you talking about?
If you would like to learn about the ancient art of smoke signals, press 3 now.
Oh, this is a terrible substitute for internet.
Internet.
Hello?
Hello, my name is Kyle.
Okay, that's
I am
enough.
Not a real person, but did you
we
know
gotta
you can
go.
Solve many problems by going to www.earthlink.net.
Hang up. Hang up on this guy.
Get help.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. It is 24 minutes after 7 o'clock.
1 week till the royal wedding that no one in America cares about, yet we are force-fed it by the media 24-7, including on this show. And we'll talk to our royal wedding correspondent, producer Alex's mom, Liz, coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean
Show. Are you any closer to sealing that deal?
I don't know. I'm hoping the closer we get to the wedding date, the more sexually excited Liz will be, and it will be easier for me to nail her. That's my goal anyway, but we'll see how it goes.
I need to have sex with you, Liz.
We'll talk to her coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Come on, Alex, Liz Lemon.
Alex is so grossed out right now by the thought of me being her potential new stepfather.
That'd be awesome.
First, though, it's Friday, and it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Four new movies in Cineplexes this weekend, and all of them
are great, are fantastic.
Eh.
Not a banner weekend?
Not a smash hit in the bunch, in my opinion. But here are your options. First is a documentary from Disney, and apparently, from what I've heard, this is very entertaining, called African Cats.
Oh, I can't wait.
It is about two families of big jungle cats, lions, tigers, what have you.
Fascinated with them.
And it is about these two cat families and how they teach their cubs the ways of the wild, narrated by Samuel L. Jackson. These documentaries are always total BS, but very entertaining. You know, they just shoot a bunch of stuff and then they create a fictional narrative for these families. Louise, the female, takes her cub down to the river to show her how to fish for iguana. It's like, no, you just caught some footage of some random cat. I don't think they're even the same cats. They just shoot a bunch of lions and they edit it all together.
Say, we can't tell them apart.
Look, they're like a family. Oh, they do things. They're talking to each other now. Yeah, sure they are. Whatever.
You sound like you got burned by the Meerkat show, Ralph.
Just saying. Also opening this weekend, Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family.
There it is.
Yes.
There it is.
Madea's back, everybody. She is one sassy black lady. She will put you in your place if you step off. I know that much. She will come at you, and she will straighten you out.
Yeah.
Oh, Madea. Madea jumps into action when her nurse, Shirley, receives distressing news about her health. Shirley wants to gather her three adult children around her and share the news as a family, but the kids are so distracted by their own problems that the family can't seem to come together for their ailing mom.
Hmm.
Nuh-uh, I don't think so. Madea better straighten them out. Here's Madea talking to Shirley and suggesting how she can straighten out her family's problems.
How you gonna get them over here?
See, y'all Christians is something. Y'all gonna pull out that Bible, but y'all don't know which prescription to use for which situation. You got to find the right prescription. There's a prescription that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yeah.
Have you been redeemed by the Lord?
Yes.
That's right. So if you've been redeemed by the Lord and somebody does something to you that you don't like, even your kids, you can beat the hell out of them and just say, so. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to beat the hell out of them and say, so. And I'm going to bring them over here because you've been redeemed. All right.
Come on.
How long has Carl Malone been in the movies?
Wow. That is a clip from the movie?
Yes. And these movies like make millions and millions and millions of dollars.
This is like the seventh or something like that. I mean, it's a huge franchise, right? A lot of films.
Can't get enough Madea.
You see, Tyler Perry has written his character to misuse the English language to the point where, while meaning scripture, Madea says prescripture.
Repeatedly.
As if it was prescription, and then that one joke is repeated 8 to 9 times in the same sentence, which makes it hilarious.
It's not for us. We're melanin challenged. You know that, Ralph. This is not a movie for you and me.
But even African Americans have to look at this and say, "Come on, that's just not funny."
No, they look at this and say, "Come on, let's go."
It's a phenomenon that is just lost on me. It really is, because I can see wanting to go see a movie that represents your race or your family or experience that you're familiar with.
Your life, your friends.
But doesn't that have to be also entertaining and well-written and good on top of that?
Well, you want everything.
I mean, Rob Schneider makes a lot of movies. I don't go just because he's white. I don't go see Grown Ups just because it's a bunch of white guys.
That wasn't bad.
Oh, screw you. You're part of the problem. You're the white Tyler Perry.
I wish. He owns all of Atlanta.
Also opening up this weekend, Water for Elephants. Robert Pattinson and Reese Witherspoon in a romantic drama about the circus and elephants.
Huh?
I know. It's one of those weekends. Here's a scene where Robert Pattinson is inviting Reese Witherspoon to run away with him.
We don't get too far. There's a hotel in Salem. But don't stay longer than the night.
Just come with me. You think there's nothing out there for you, but there is. You just can't see it.
Jacob, you don't understand. I can't. You'll find me.
Elaine, there's a better kind of life that's meant for you. Whether that life is with me or not, whether you love me or not, it doesn't matter. But it's got to be now.
Wow.
This has the advantage of being based on a beloved, best-selling book.
Yes.
Least, right? So there is a built-in audience
for
this.
They took and picked the two least appealing romantic leads they could find and cast them in the film.
What was the Madea thing again?
Looking pretty good now, isn't it? And lastly, a documentary by Morgan Spurlock called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. It's a documentary about branding, advertising, and product placement in movies that has been financed and made possible by branding, advertising, and product placement. See what he did there? He flipped the script.
Well done.
He took it, and he made the point by doing it. You see?
Yeah.
You don't see.
I think we understand.
I don't think you see.
We got it.
Here's a scene where Morgan explains his movie idea.
What I want to do is make a film all about product placement, marketing, and advertising, where the entire film is funded by product placement, marketing, and advertising. So the movie will be called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. So what happens in The Greatest Movie Ever Sold is that everything from top to bottom, from start to finish, is branded from beginning to end.
I don't understand the concept.
It's not clear.
It's too complex for me. You can check it out this weekend. Those are your choices.
What's still hungover from last weekend that we might
want to see? Didn't come out last weekend.
No, I'm just saying. What's still in the theaters that... There's got to be other choices.
The Conspirator.
Arthur?
Yeah.
The Conspirator?
Yeah. Okay.
I think Scream 4, maybe? You might like that, Kevin. Scream 4?
We're in the doldrums, aren't we?
A lot of
come on,
this weekend.
Green Lantern. Come on, Green Lantern. Oh, please, Green Lantern, come to me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Give us a call. Be caller 20 when you hear us play Soundgarden at any point on the Kevin and Bean Show. Win tickets to see him this summer for the show July 22nd at the Forum. Also, from your Anaheim Ducks, Corey Perry is going to be here. You're going to be looking for a new hockey team to root for in the playoffs here soon, Kevin. Maybe you should consider the Ducks. Mix Master Mike from the Beastie Boys and Travis Barker's band on the road with Lil Wayne. He's going to be joining us later on today. And people who would vote for Donald Trump, we're going to want to talk to you next hour as well. All right, we've been talking about the royal wedding. It's not because we love it. It's not because we can't wait for it to be here. It's that we can't wait for it to be over. And the problem, I think, is that the networks, for instance, ABC, not doing enough coverage about the royal wedding.
Okay, a handsome prince is swept off his feet by this beautiful princess-to-be, and their wedding. Well, let's just say all the world will be watching. But to really see it all, Americans will turn to the royal team of ABC News. Friday, April 29th, starting at 4 a.m., Barbara Walters, together with Diane Sawyer, weekend anchor David Muir, Good Morning America's Robin Roberts, 2020's Chris Cuomo, and a team of ABC News royal insiders. So on the inside, there's even Princess Diana's bridesmaid, sharing what only she knows. But even before they say I do, starting Monday, April 25th, Robin and Good Morning America are there all week, every morning, behind the scenes of the royal wedding and inside the palaces of Barbara Walters. And at night, fashion royalty Tim Gunn takes on all the high style with Cynthia McFadden and Nightline. So count down all week with us to that big day, Friday, April 29th. Oh. Set your clocks for 4 a.m. because ABC News has your all-access pass to the royal wedding.
Okay.
Thank you, ABC News.
Thank you.
Take a look now at abcnews.com/royalwedding to see it all.
That's 4 a.m. East Coast, right? Which means...
What was with the little Glenda the Good Witch fairy doing that voiceover?
Yeah.
That was the worst British accent I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I don't know, but everybody on the channel seems to have to do a British accent to talk about this. Well, they may have all of that coverage going on, but we have producer Alex's mom, who is the official Kevin and Bean royal wedding correspondent. Please welcome Liz to the show. Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, you guys.
You must be excited. It's only a week away.
How you doing, Mom?
I'm really excited because all the final details are falling into place.
Sweet.
And now it's just smooth sailing.
Liz, let me ask you this question before we hear what you've brought for us today. When you hear me play that promo for ABC News, how many of those types of shows are you DVRing or staying up to watch live? I mean, every time there's a royal special on or a piece on the news, are you making sure to catch it so that you're fully prepared for the event next week?
Yeah, I'm definitely DVRing stuff. I don't watch most things live except for sports. So, yeah, I watch them, I get the information, and then I move forward. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. What kinds of details have you been excited to learn since the last time we spoke with you, Liz?
Okay, well, they've got the rundown of how the day is going to go. So, interestingly enough, it starts out in the morning when the Queen announces what titles Prince William and Kate are going to be taking. Then from that, they move on to the guests arriving at 8:30, the VIPs come in at 10, the family arrives at 10:40, and the last people in Westminster Abbey are the Queen and Prince Philip. And the big news is that at 11 o'clock, when Kate arrives, a press release will go out with a sketch of her wedding dress and the design.
Wait. Not a photo, a sketch.
A sketch.
Somebody's going to hand draw it.
Yeah, evidently, from what I've heard, they're going to have a sketch of the wedding dress and they're going to have the name of the designer. And there's been a little bit of designer wedding dress news this week.
This is a big deal.
This is scandalous.
The Huffington Post reported that Kate Middleton's wedding dress designer was Sophie Cranston. But Sophie Cranston came out yesterday and said, nope, she's not the designer. So the rumors are not true.
It's on.
And now it's back to see whether it's Sarah Burton, who's the creative director of Alexander McQueen, or a couple of other designers.
So before we go too really far down that road, my sweet Liz, I have to ask you this question. Look, I understand if you're a young woman who will one day be married and you want to see somebody else's wedding dress because maybe you're looking for some inspiration, some ideas for your own. But why does somebody like you, Liz, care what her wedding dress looks like?
I think it's all part of the fairy tale. I think it's all part of the fun. I think it's all part of the opportunity. It's like the ideal, you know. Wedding dresses are a big deal, and there's so many options. And if you've got all these resources and designers at your disposal, what would you ultimately
do? Now, Liz, you're barely over 20 years old, but you are over 20 years old.
I'm 29.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Almost Alex's age.
So you,
Bean and I are the same age. Yeah.
So you pretty much remember how the fairy tale ended last time.
Right. It's not necessarily a fairy tale just because there's royalty involved.
Right. The whole Princess Diana thing, doesn't that kind of taint?
No.
It doesn't?
You got to hang on to the hope, people. You got to have hope. It's what makes the world. Right now, with all this stuff going on in the world, I think people are just digging in because it's going to be a fun historical event. It's a party.
It's a happy diversion is what you're saying, Liz.
Totally happy diversion.
And Liz,
let me just say this. The minute it's over, I'm so out.
I love you, but it's not a party. It isn't a party.
It's going to be a party with Liz and her friends in San Francisco, though. That's going to be a party.
Now, Liz,
the party that we're having is getting bigger and bigger. It's now turning into four houses, and it's a block party.
You're going to have a block party. You're going to have a block party at 3 o'clock in the morning. What about the neighbors on the street who aren't?
1 o'clock.
I'm saying the ceremony's at 3, though. What about the neighbors on the street who aren't participating?
That's why it's turned into a block party, because we found out the people on either side of the house where we're going to be and the one across the street, they're all partying. So we've all chipped in. We've got a caterer doing beef Wellington and roast beef. We've got keg. We've got champagne.
Wow. You got a keg?
Now,
for the special part, we're having a pot luck dessert.
Ooh.
Emphasis on pot.
I thought I heard that. Oh, yeah.
So
Liz is the best.
Special cookies and scones.
Nice. Now, Liz, we said, and we want to stay true to our word, that everyone in the Bay Area is invited. That's correct, right?
Okay.
If they can find you, they can come to the party.
We'll give out the address next Thursday.
Let me ask you this. I need your honest opinion on this, my sweet Liz. And if you're just joining us, this is the voice of producer Alex's mom, Liz, the official Kevin Bean royal wedding correspondent. We were talking on the air a couple of days ago that because he's a prince, he's an attractive, eligible bachelor to many young women around the world. But William is a dud, right? The dude is a zero. He's not a good-looking guy. He appears to have no personality or sense of humor. Is there anything redeeming about this dude?
Yeah, I think there are things redeeming about him. I mean, I think in private, I've heard he's actually quite funny and personable.
Sure.
He's a rescue pilot. The guy is well-educated. And I think that he's more attractive, obviously, because of his lineage. If he was a regular guy that you would meet, you know, down the street at a sports bar, I don't know what you would think of him. But I think, given his whole package, he's pretty attractive.
Well, I don't know anything about his package.
but he's rude next to his younger brother, Harry, who's, like, charming and parties and is super
cute.
Well, but
see, Harry doesn't have the responsibility of having to become the king. You know, he's the spare, not the heir.
Wait, how come Harry's not going to be the king?
Because he's not firstborn. He's secondborn.
Oh, I see.
So he's the party brother.
And before William can even become king, his dad, Charles, has to ascend to the throne.
Which is ridiculous. They should just skip Charles, right?
I mean, I totally agree.
Honestly.
They're talking about that.
He's a zero.
They've
the queen should just go, you're out.
Look, a lot of people in Britain would like to see that happen. It will never happen. He will be king. If he if he doesn't die before his mother, he'll be king. Absolutely. All right, Liz, we're out of time.
Oh, when are you, I'm enjoying this so much.
When are you flying to the Bay Area? On Thursday?
No, I'm going up on Tuesday because I'm hanging out. I'm taking a whole week, so I'm going up to hang out with friends and then party at the end of the weekend.
You start drinking on Tuesday, right? I mean, that's
pretty much.
Can we talk to you next Friday after the wedding?
No.
Will you still be awake? Will you still be awake during our show?
No, guys, there's no way in hell I'm talking to this.
Yes! She's going to
be
so blasted out of her mind.
We'll talk to you as early as possible on Friday's show. Could you at least try to stay up and talk to us?
I can't promise. I'm going to be so
my mom's going to be baked off of hot scones, and she's going to have a keg of champagne.
Love it.
That's why I want to talk to her. Are you kidding me? All right, Liz, we got to go, but we love you. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Corey Perry from the Anaheim Ducks coming up next after the top of the hour in the thick of the Stanley Cup playoffs against Nashville. Is he the only guy in the league who has 50 goals this year? Did I hear that on the radio?
Yep.
Talking to us, and no, we won't jinx him. Coming up first, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
You make no guarantees regarding that jinxing thing, by the way.
I've seen it happen.
I've seen it in action.
I'd like to say Drew Doughty played a lot better after talking to Kevin Bean than the games he didn't talk to us before, all right?
Yeah.
I'd like to jinx him.
How's it going now? Possible? How's that going now?
Shut up, Ralph. Just do the Showbiz.
I'm just saying
do the Showbiz.
Charlie Sheen.
Guilty.
He hasn't been accused of anything yet. However, Washington, D.C. police are investigating why Charlie received a police escort from the airport to his show in downtown Washington this week. Lights and sirens were going as they escorted Charlie from Dulles International Airport in D.C. to his show.
You sure it wasn't just a high-speed chase?
No, he was in the midst. He was running nearly an hour late for the show when he landed, so they rushed him to the theater. Internal Affairs is investigating the incident. They can't imagine why the cops would do that for a private citizen.
Clearly someone who believes he is above the law.
Sheen tweeted about the ride, included a picture of his speedometer reaching 80 miles per hour as they were rushing to the theater. Oh, somebody's in trouble. Somebody's in trouble. There will be some openings on the police force in Washington, I am predicting.
They're looking for a gig. That's where to go.
I'm sure some douchebag cop was a Charlie Sheen fan, or worst case scenario, there was some money exchanged, and these cops took Charlie to the theater at 80 miles per hour.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. That'd be awesome to be able to get a...
They don't do it. Cops don't do it unless there's some sort of life-threatening situation if you're rushing to a hospital or something
like
that.
Maybe they wanted to get him to the arena before he died. Maybe that was the emergency.
Possible, maybe. So they're investigating and we'll know more as the story progresses. James Franco is attending yet another university.
All right, take it easy.
He's going to get his PhD at the University of Houston. He has entered the creative writing program there. He's going to enroll in September of 2012. You know, once he's done with Yale and NYU and all the other schools he's attending. No word yet on whether the University of Houston offers a how to host an award show program, but I suggest he take a couple classes in that.
I don't think that was his fault.
You know,
it's a bad choice.
Well, he took
he,
that.
He could have tried, though.
He took that opportunity and made the least of it.
Well,
so
that's true.
He had that going for him. And more news about celebrities and the law. DeBrat is furious.
Oh, you don't want DeBrat mad.
You do not want DeBrat mad.
Her real name, Shantae Harris. You know her as the rapper DeBrat. Mm-hmm. She's furious that she couldn't attend her buddy Mariah Carey's baby shower.
Okay. Why?
Well, she's got that pesky ankle monitor that was given to her by the legal system of Georgia.
So who's she furious with?
She can't leave Georgia for 6 months due to probation violations. She says she's furious that she can't go to Mariah Carey's baby shower. She needs to be there for her friend. Oh, I tell you, life is so unfair.
It is.
You can't go to the multi-million dollar baby shower because you have an ankle bracelet on. You're a criminal.
DeBrat.
Truer name was never given. And the producers of Glee have threatened to destroy an extra's showbiz career.
What?
The extra apparently was on the set during the filming of the season finale and tweeted a spoiler that the prom queen would be a guy. Like, we couldn't have guessed that, by the way. It's Glee, for God's sakes. The producers now are threatening to destroy his career.
You'll never work again in this
town.
He's
an extra. I could destroy his career.
The Glee people seem to be losing it more and more, those producers are there. They're getting more and more unhinged. They're going after Kings of Leon and Dave Grohl and threatening to destroy careers. It's just a TV show, and it's not that good. Just relax, Glee.
Just relax.
Collect your cash. Ride the wave. You got about one season left in you. Then everybody goes on to new things. So let's not get crazy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jack Nicholson is 74 years old today. John Waters celebrates his 65th. Peter Frampton is 61. Ryan Stiles is 52. Fletcher of Pennywise is 45. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is 45 as well. Sherry Shepherd is 44. Shabo from System of a Down is 37. And Amber Heard is 25 years old. This weekend, do me a favor, come on out and see me and Kevin Smith as we do our Hollywood Babylon show at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk. It is 10 p.m. this Saturday night. Smith is back. He missed last week, but Bill Burr sat in for him. We had a good time. It'll be me and Kevin talking about all the latest and greatest showbiz news, and there's cocktails and food, and I think you're going to have a pretty good time.
Starts at 10 p.m.
10 p.m.
And TBA?
TBA. We have no show after us, so sometimes we go a couple hours. Depends on, you know, Kevin smokes a little, I drink a little. Depends on the kind of mood we get in, but, you know, you'll have a good time. Go to BabbleOnRalph or BabbleOnKev.com for details and to buy tickets. I'd love to see you Saturday night. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
2003, Perry was drafted in the first round by the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Ducks, Ducks.
Perry in front of the net, scores! Corey Perry scores again!
I think if you look statistically and look at the minutes played and the number of big goals that he's scored and the opportunities that he's helped create for our hockey club, I don't know if there's a player playing better or to a higher level in the league.
And the NHL!
Anytime you get a shorthand goal, definitely just the momentum on your bench and, you know, the confidence gets a little higher.
In front, shot, score! Corey Perry has goal number 50!
We are very, very fortunate to have Corey Perry in our lineup. We know what kind of player he is, and I've always stated that he's a guy that you can always ask more of because he's prepared and he's willing and he's always thinking that he can bring more to the table than what he's just brought.
Scores! Corey Perry, and that's a huge goal for the Ducks!
There's nothing like the excitement of playoff hockey. Some great series going on around the country right now, and one of them is Nashville versus Anaheim from the Anaheim Ducks. Corey Perry joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Perry, thanks for carving out some time for us today. How you feeling?
Oh, not too bad. How are you guys?
How often do you get called Mr. Perry?
Never.
You know, I'm now very well used to the fact that Anaheim has a hockey team. I know hockey in Southern California, you know, still to some people they can't picture it, but obviously the Ducks have already established a very rich history here. I can't get over the fact that Nashville has a hockey team. That's what's confusing me right now. Really? They have a team now?
Yeah, they have a team they've had for a while, and, you know, they've been playing pretty well the last few years, and right now they're playing well, too.
That intro was talking about scoring shorthanded. That has got to be a huge boost. And was that on that backhand, that ridiculous backhand shot that you scored on?
Yeah, last game at first met in the period. I did a little backhander and shorthanded.
What makes you think, like, this is going to work? Because, you know, I think most guys would go, I don't know, I'm not going to try that because it's just too much of a chance, and you just turn and fire it and goes in. You just get the confidence from scoring a lot of goals throughout the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think the more you throw it on net, the better your chances are, right? It's like Gretzky always used to say, you never score 100% of the shots you don't take, you don't score. So it's one of those things. You put it on net, you never know what can happen in the playoffs.
Right. Well, talk to us about some of the changes in the lineups that we're going to see tonight. I guess you've got Bobby Ryan is back in, but Nashville's got Arrett out because he's hurt. These little changes that they made, of course, you've always got good guys ready to skate, but these little changes do make a difference with the team when you've got different personnel out there night to night, right?
Yeah, definitely. When adding Bobby back to the lineup, it's obviously going to be a big boost for us. He's ready. He had his week off, a little suspension he had, and he's ready to get back and get back into a game. He's excited. It's playoff time, and why wouldn't you be?
It seems odd to me that the games can swing so much. Like, you're playing the same team most of the time. You have the same goalie, same lines out there. Sometimes you switch up the lines, but then it'll be 4-1 one night, 6-3 another night. I mean, how do you explain that? How is it not closer every night? Sometimes it's one team's night and another team is the other team's night, and you just never know.
You never do know. It's all about who has the best start, I think. And you look at the game so far, and whoever scored the first goal has gone on to win the game. And it's that start that we talk about every day, that we got to go out and get to win the first 20 minutes of hockey, and if you do that, you have a better chance of winning.
The other night in Nashville, Vince Gill, the country superstar, led the crowd in a chant that Perry is a sissy. Now, which, by the way, has got to be one of the weeniest chants I've ever heard. Who in 2011 is thinking that sissy is the term that's going to get under somebody's skin? Were you aware of that when it was going on, or is it something you heard about afterwards? I'm not sure how much exposure you had to that at the time it was happening.
No, I didn't hear about it till after the game when one of the reporters was in the room asking me about it, and I guess he asked Getzlaff if I knew who he was, and he said no, but obviously I know who Vince Gill is a country singer, and it's pretty funny when somebody like that gets up and starts to chant.
Yeah, but that's a wussy chant right there.
It is a wussy chant, right? But I mean, it's also a testament to how you're viewed, or around the league as a star player for the Ducks. I mean, for the same reason that they might boo LeBron or something when he comes into town, they pick on you because you're good, and a lot of times you'll make the difference in a win. So I mean, in a way, it's kind of a backhanded compliment, I guess.
I guess it is, yeah. I'll take it, for sure.
What's it like to go in and play in another arena? I know you do it probably more games than you have at home, but in the playoffs, you go there, their home crowd is going crazy, and yet it doesn't seem to be a huge boost to either team to be playing at home.
It's a loud building. Nashville is a loud building. I got to give their fans a lot of credit. They're very passionate there. They love their team, and it's good to see, but on our bench we don't even worry about it. We block it out and just play our game. You just got to know who's next up on the ice, and away you go.
You went in last game you played in Nashville and scored 6 goals. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often when you get to do that on the road. That's for sure.
How much, I know you're busy all the time, even though you have some days off here and there, you're busy all the time focusing, preparing, practicing and everything. Do you even have the time to pay attention to what else is going on around the league in terms of where the playoffs are at?
Well, when last night we watched a couple games and just sitting at home and, on our days off, we get to see what's going on and going on around the league. But on a game day, we don't really see what's going on. We more or less find out after the game what happened, and you go from there.
What kind of changes do you make on a game day? I mean, you guys have played all season. You've played Nashville. Now you've played them 4 times already. I mean, how many changes are made, or do you just kind of go in and do your thing?
No, I just go in and do your thing. Just another hockey game, and, it's one of those things where it is playoff time. It's a new season, and the best hockey is being played, but it's still the same old hockey game that you grew up playing.
It is amazing. This is the voice of Corey Perry on the phone from the Ducks. Of course, they're playing Nashville Predators. That is going to be tonight, and it's a home game for Anaheim. It is amazing, though, when you see the intensity that you guys put forth on the ice every single night, that you're able to have anywhere to ratchet it up to. But I swear to God, I don't think it's just me. When I watch the playoff games, I feel like there's more going on. I feel like somehow you're at 110% instead of 100%. It must just be because it's so exciting. It must be so much fun for you guys. This is what you work for.
This is what we work for all season. This is why we play hockey. Playoffs are an exciting time of the year, and when it's out there, the fans get a little crazier and a little louder. So the intensity level just definitely rises.
How much is it going to help you to have home ice advantage? Because you have one game tonight, and then there's one in Nashville, and then there's the last game seven, if there is one, will be back in Anaheim.
Oh, it's huge. When, they stole it right away from us with beating us in game one. But, we went back into their building, got one out of them, and we took it back. That's why we work hard all season, just to have that home ice advantage in the playoffs.
Well, speaking of all season, 50 goals and 98 points is admirable, I guess. I mean, I guess that's okay if you're in hockey.
I guess it'll do. Corey Perry, superstar for the Anaheim Ducks. Watch them tonight if you can't be at the game against Nashville. That is going to be tonight at 7 o'clock. We got our fingers crossed. Corey, thanks again for carving out some time for us, especially on a game day. I know that's rare, but good luck this weekend, man. Have fun.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right, that's over. I'll give you that. That ended. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 22 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Hey, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. I know that you're not ready for presidential election talk yet.
I hate politics. I hate politics.
I know you do. And by the way, when I'm running things around here, the current sitting president is not going to be allowed to campaign until 3 months before the election. In fact, nobody's going to be allowed to campaign until 3 months before the election.
That would help, by the way.
That's how things are going to be when I'm running things.
If it wasn't a two-year process, that would help.
Yes,
but you running things would not solve a lot of problems.
Well, maybe you're right about that.
Yeah.
So maybe this is all just idle chatter because nothing really matters because the election's not for a year and a half. But here's a poll that came out last week from the Public Policy Polling Foundation. Here's the Republican field. It's a given, I think, that President Obama is going to have the Democratic nomination. Who's he going to be running against? Well, 8% say they'd like to see it be former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. 11% say, how about Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House? Then it's Mitt Romney with 15%, Governor of Massachusetts. Governor Huckabee from Arkansas is at 17%. Leading the field for the Republicans as of right now, a year and a half in, Donald Trump. 26%. That's a huge margin. 26%. He's at the top.
Oh, come on. He's not going to run, is he? I don't think he's going to run. This is all PR.
It very well could be because he is a loudmouth and a blowhard and everything he does is the best and he's got all the answers and he's got to be the smartest guy in the room and I get all that. But there are some experts who are saying you dismiss Donald Trump and the appeal that he has to potential voters at your own risk because there are a lot of very likable things about him. He's very plain spoken. He's saying a lot of things that maybe might be considered politically incorrect that a lot of people out there feel, but politicians aren't generally willing to say. I mean, as an example, President Trump, if he's the president, says, yeah, we got to go into Libya and take the oil. Now, that's a fun thing to say, and it gets people rah-rah-rahed up, and they go, USA, USA. But in reality, if you're the president, think about the logistics of going into a country and taking their oil. It's not a very easy thing to do, and it's not a thing that makes you very popular at home or around the world for doing that.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to really happen? But I know that if this poll says 26% say he's their favorite candidate, I know we have listeners that are serious about wanting to vote for Donald Trump. And those are the people that I think we want to talk to right now at 1-800-520-1067.
Now, you think there are people who would seriously vote for him, not a comedy vote. Like, I would vote for him for comedy.
Right. You'd vote for him against anyone just because you think it would be hilarious to have his comb over in the White House.
He would paint the White House gold. I mean, it would just be fantastic. He would be the funniest president since George Bush.
He would have the hottest first lady ever, though,
yes,
with Melania. I'll tell you that. But seriously, though, if you think it's time for the United States to have a businessman as the guy running the government and Donald Trump is a guy that you respect and think would do a good job, call us, 1-800-520-1067. I think we have some tape from his most recent appearance on the Today Show where Donald Trump was saying some of the things that seemed to be really striking a chord with voters.
Oh, sure would be nice if our president was born in the United States.
What I am saying is there's a question, and there's a bigger question now than 2 months ago when I first started. and he doesn't have a birth. He might have it. And you know what, Savannah? I hope he does. I would love him to come out with a birth certificate, proper birth certificate.
Yeah, he hopes so.
In a perfect world, that would happen. And then it would silence everybody.
It is kind of smart the way he's saying, I don't know whether he has a birth certificate or not. He's not coming out and saying he is or isn't, you know, eligible to be president because he was not born in this country. But he's saying, I don't know, but lots of other people.
Yeah,
now they have some real questions.
But that's a backhanded way of saying it, you know?
Of course. But it's working. That's my point. It's working.
He's not going to run. I'll tell you why he's not going to run. Because if he became president, he would have zero power. Right now, he can run his company however he wants to run his company. Mm-hmm. When you get to be the president, and I'm sure Obama would tell him, you can make fewer changes than you would think. You know, it's a tough, giant thing to move. You can't just go in there and start making decisions on a whim.
Right.
So then it continues.
I think you'll be very surprised at how Forbes says $2.7 billion. It's much higher than that.
I am worth much more than $2.7 billion. Let's not be ridiculous.
But think about the giant ego on Donald Trump. Don't you think he would love to be president just because he would get some, you know, he'd get a tremendous amount of respect?
Oh, he would
just
get
from
destroyed
the office?
Destroyed running. You don't think he would get destroyed?
Well,
He's such a giant douchebag a-hole. He would get destroyed in the run for presidency.
I think he would get destroyed only in people who are taking it seriously, that are willing to go beyond sound bites, because he is not a very deep person. He does not have a lot of well thought out policies. He talks in great generalities, but I think that may be all you need these days in an America where we have such a short attention span. I mean, I think people hear his sound bite and go, yeah, that guy sounds good. I like him. He doesn't sound like a politician. I think I'll vote for him.
I've built a fantastic company with a fantastic worth. And the fact is that this country needs somebody that can do a great job.
That's true. That's a good point. It's hard to argue with. This country does need somebody that can do a great job. I mean,
and he says a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, which is just meaningless drivel.
How much of your own money would you be willing to put into the
campaign? No, a lot. It'll be a very big number. I have a lot of cash, so I can do it.
Yeah. Let me tell you more about the money I have. That doesn't sit well with people, I don't think, Bean.
I'm not ruling him out, by the way, as being a serious candidate. I'm not. If he runs, I think that there are a lot of people who would follow him. There are a lot of people who really like this guy. And we want to talk to you at 1-800-520-1067. Let's get Steve in real quick before the break. He was the first through on line four. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to presidential election 2012 talk.
Ugh. How you guys doing today?
We are good.
Good.
You would vote for Donald Trump?
Absolutely.
For comedy?
No.
For real?
He'd be the man to get this country back in order.
Okay, tell me what you've seen from him that leads you to believe that. Because, you know, the deficit in many people's minds is the number one problem that the next president is going to have to face. Why do you think Donald Trump's the guy to do it?
Because he'll stop giving money away and all the free handouts to all these countries that basically hate us. Mm-hmm. And with his business background, I think he'd be. I think that's what we need at this time.
But do we need his hair? Does that need to be in the white / gold house?
Yeah.
But if he were really, really running for president, though, if we were closer to the election and he were still in it and he had announced, and you know, guys like you think that he is good with money, what would happen when people started asking him, "What about all the companies that have declared bankruptcy that you own, Donald? What about those? I mean, does that sound like a guy to you who can run a business if he's gone bankrupt so many times?" Because you can't just declare bankruptcy in the United States and start over. It doesn't work that way.
No, that's true. But the companies that filed bankruptcy, I mean, how many companies does he have?
That's a good point.
I don't know.
That's
one of the things we'll find out, I guess, if he has to show his money. But, I mean, I know he's had at least three companies that he's owned that have declared bankruptcy. And that doesn't necessarily, to me, say here's a guy who knows how to make money or be on a budget.
Yeah, but if you've got 50 of them that are successful and you have three that aren't, I think that's a pretty good odd there.
All right, so we're going to put you down one vote for Mr. Trump then.
Very good.
All right.
Okay. All right, now that's binding. You have to now vote for him because you've said...
No matter what comes out in the next year and a half.
That's right. All right, 1-800-520-1067. You're serious. You want to vote for Donald Trump. Tell us why. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean. Hey, Mr. President, how are you?
Finally, you two have realized that I am the greatest choice for this
position of anyone who has ever run for the office of President of the United States of America.
Okay. I don't think even going to run.
I am going to run, and I'm going to win.
You're not
going
to even
And when
run.
I'm president, I'm going to invade your house and take your things.
we are talking about President Donald Trump in our future.
Especially
in 2012.
That sweet video game system you have.
He's leading a lot of polls right now ahead of all the other guys, the usual suspects, the guys like Huckabee that you might expect to be up there.
The
He's
cast
ahead
of the usual suspects isn't even running for president.
That's not what he meant.
Shows you how disconnected you are from America and its problems.
So we wanted to talk to people who are actually going to vote for you, Mr. Trump, and listen to some of the responses we're getting on the email. For instance, Matthew writes in, Kevin and Bean, I swear to God, if he runs and wins, I'm leaving the country. Japan would be a better place to live at this point. Now, that's just mean. Kelly writes in, listing online from Tucson, Arizona. I never thought I would vote for Donald Trump, but after reading some interviews on his views and ideas, he's actually convincing me. We need someone with experience who can get things done, someone who cannot be bought. Donald Trump is looking pretty good.
I am telling you, I will carry Arizona. That much I know for sure.
Yes, I think you're probably right. All right, let's try Janet. Janet is on line six. She's a wacky broad, and she says, yeah, I'll vote for Donald Trump. Hi, Janet. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning.
What's going on?
So you would vote for Donald Trump?
Hell yeah.
Because
of his business sense. He knows how to make the money. He knows how to promote, and we need that in America.
That's right. But that's what we need in America. More promotions.
Promotions from other countries that they look at.
More advertising and marketing and promotion, because America does not have enough of that. You're absolutely right, Janet.
I will say this. It's easy to be simplistic and say, oh, we should run the government like a business. And there are a lot of things that I think government should take for business, like not spending more money than you have coming in. I agree that that's something that needs to be done and taken seriously in this country. But there are a lot of things in the government you can't run as a business because you have, a constitution, and you just can't go around firing everyone and doing things your way because it's the people who get to choose a lot
of
those things.
That's the first thing that will go when I'm president.
What?
That pesky constitution.
You're going to fire it?
Absolutely.
You can't.
Constitution, you're fired.
You can't do that. You can't fire the constitution.
Founding fathers, you're fired.
You don't have that power. All right, let's try Mickey. Mickey is on line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mickey, welcome to the show. Why President Trump?
He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
We need a businessman, and of course, you're right. You're absolutely right what you just said. It's not just a business, but very much so it is a business. And obviously, there's only so much he's going to be able to do within the framework of the Constitution.
He just fired the Constitution. You weren't listening to the
Constitution. You're fired.
Everyone. You're fired. Of course he's going to go for that. But you know what? That's good. You know, it's good copy. It gets his name out there. He's there.
That's what this is all about to me.
No, it's not. It's about that now. And once he's out there and once he's a real legitimate candidate, he will then take it to the next step and he will then, you know, come out with his policies.
Okay, let me ask you.
Thank you for your support, Mickey. And I'd like to say I'm glad you recognize my business acumen. Because as a person who was the only person to lose money while owning a casino, I would like to say I appreciate the support. Makes me feel better about myself.
Mickey, let me ask you this question, and I'm not mocking. I am taking you seriously because I do understand. I really do understand the appeal of a non-politician because we've all had an ass full of politicians. I do get that. But can you honestly see Donald Trump sitting across a table with Kim Jong-il or one of these other crazy world leaders and actually making policy? Can you see him being a serious enough person to do a job like that?
Without a doubt. No doubt. He is a leader. We are a company. That's what America is. We are a large, large, large company. He knows what he's doing. He has sat across from people, obviously not political world leaders. He's not at that level
yet. But like Gary Busey.
A leader is a leader. Yeah, okay, come on. I mean,
All right, now hold on a second.
If I can carry Busey, if I can handle him, I can handle Kim Jong-il.
That's an excellent point. Actually, I think you're right about it. All right, thank you very much for the call, Mickey.
And with me as president, I think corporations will finally be served in America.
You think like big companies?
Finally, their voice will be heard. They will no longer be ignored.
Let's try Joey. Joey's on line one talking about Donald Trump for president 2012. Hi, Joey. Welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging on.
Joey from San Jose. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Well, listen, first of all, I got to agree that anybody could fill that position at this point, don't you think?
Meaning the president is not that...
Listen, this guy needed to be trained into president. Obviously, he has politics in his background, but we don't need a politician right now. America is more of a show. It's a show right now.
We need a showman. Connection.
I will tell you that there was a time in this country where there weren't such things as professional politicians, where people had regular jobs. They ran businesses. They went and they served in the government for a few years, and then they went back to their job. It wasn't something you did for your entire life. And there are a lot of people who think that that's better.
Politics got a bad name then, so we just need to bring it back up.
Yes,
to what it
you're
is.
Right. America is a show, and what we need is a good host. So vote Trump Probst in 2012.
Probst is running.
He's
with
going
you?
To be my vice president. Yes,
I haven't heard that.
And when we kick you out of the country, he will snuff out your torch, and I will fire you.
All right, let's take one more. How about Smitty on line four? Smitty, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What say you about President Donald J. Trump?
Oh, all the way. 2012, Donald Trump, all the way.
All right.
I don't think there's, you look at the Reaganomics, people love that economy. It was going good. Celebrity status always works. You know what I mean?
So you're saying because Reagan was a celebrity and then he was a successful politician.
Oh, yeah, our politics, it's corrupt with the CEOs, as every secretary and everything in this country. Might as well get people like Donald Trump who got the celebrity status and the business sense. Man, I would even vote for people like Charlie Sheen because he's a winner.
I would vote for Charlie Sheen, too.
There we go. Now, there's something we can all agree on. Vote for Charlie Sheen for public office because he's a winner.
Why stop there? Vote for Charlie Manson.
Thanks for the call.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:52.
What was that?
Just starting the party.
Okay.
That's how the party starts?
Speaking of starting the party, this is embarrassing. And Ralph, it's time for us to have that talk again with Kevin every time we have a DJ come. Because we know how you are with your skills on the ones and twos, and you're going to be mouthing off, and you're going to want to get into a DJ battle with Mixmaster Mike when he comes in here.
I've already torn him up.
No, I'm just saying, let him have his moment. You're internationally acknowledged as the world's best DJ. Let him have his moment of doing his work.
I beg to differ. Kevin's not internationally known, but he's known to rock the microphone.
Yeah. Anyway, Mixmaster Mike, who's in town touring with Travis Barker and Lil Wayne, joins us after the top of the hour. Of course, you know his work from the Beastie Boys and so much other great stuff that he's done. That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. First, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
As we were talking about music, I thought it only appropriate to congratulate Foo Fighters with their number one album this week. How about that?
Yay!
Wasting Light debuted at the top spot of the Billboard 200, selling 235,000 copies for the week. Pretty spectacular.
They deserve it.
They do.
They do. And we couldn't believe, I think we talked about this when you were out, Ralph, this is the first number one album they've ever had, which is shocking to me.
Yeah. Foo Fighters, Wasting Light, number one, that knocks Adele and her CD 21 down to number two. The rest of the top 10, Paper Airplane by Alison Krauss and Union Station. Third, Paul Simon.
Nope.
Paul freaking Simon. Hey, you ever heard of Simon and Garfunkel? That Paul Simon, that one.
Late 60s?
Yes.
Well.
It's got the fourth highest selling album right now.
It is the best reviewed album of 2011 so far.
Stop.
I'm just saying.
Stop.
I'm saying just because he's old doesn't mean it's not good.
We're saying stop saying.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Then the rest of the top 10, as you know, is not for us so much. Britney Spears, Wiz Khalifa, Chris Brown. Although Mumford & Sons still number 10 in the top 10. So.
And could I hear your very popular cover version of Little Lion Man, Ralph? You do a nice job with that. Wait, they don't sing lyrics? They don't have lyrics?
They may. I've never heard any, but I'm sure they're in there someplace.
Okay.
Guy sings like a bagpipe.
It's like listening to Marley Matlin sing.
Bagpipes and banjos. That's what they should have called their CD.
That's the name of my autobiography.
Is it really bagpipes and banjos? Mel Gibson.
Guilty.
He's not charged with anything.
Oh, I'm so confused.
Wants you to know that those audio tapes you heard of him fighting with his then-girlfriend, Oksana Grigorieva, are not representative of who he truly is as a person.
Oh.
The tapes don't define me, Mel wants you to know. He did a wide-ranging interview with DeadlineHollywood.com. And apparently there were no restrictions put on the interview. No questions were barred. Everything was up for discussion. Mel was very candid and saying the audio tapes basically were one terrible, awful moment in time said to one person in the span of one day
and doesn't represent what I truly believe or how I've treated people my entire life.
It's a beautiful story, and it's a lie.
Oh, come on! He says, I've never treated anyone badly or in a discriminatory way based on their gender, race, religion, or sexuality.
You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs. You feel you have to show off.
He says that's not him, though he doesn't blame some people for thinking so because of all the garbage they've heard on those leaked tapes, which
he claims
have been edited.
What? Mm,
yes.
But he said all this. They didn't put together words in order that he didn't say them.
Says the guy who says everything we ever play from him has been edited.
Yeah, by course, that's clearly
that's
a ruse.
True.
Just smile and me.
Yeah, that's...
Look,
well, that's true.
Look, I'm not defending Mel Gibson's remarks on those tapes at all, but I will say that until he and his wife broke up, for 30 years, he was a huge Hollywood star, and you never heard stories about him yelling at people or being a dick or going out of control or anything like that, you know, with the exception of that one getting pulled over for DUI thing.
Not to mention, he has worked with Jews and homosexuals and black people and all kinds of people for 30 years.
I don't care.
And they've never had one complaint about his behavior towards them. This interviewer interviewed person after person after person. And they said, we were shocked and surprised by all the stuff that came out in these tapes because he never showed an inkling of anything like this kind of behavior as long as we've known him.
I don't care.
So I think there is something to it's not the totality of who I am.
You
I
know
think
what it is?
That's fair.
It's the booze. I'm telling you.
But
the booze makes him an angry, bitter, evil bastard.
But doesn't booze just make you more of what you are?
I don't think that's a popular convention, but I don't think it's the case.
When I get drunk, it doesn't matter how drunk I get, I won't say those things.
You might say other things that aren't really indicative of who you are in your everyday life, how you treat people. You may get, especially in an argument, a drunken argument, you may say things that you would never even think of if you were sober.
I write them down. I go, I got to think of this when I'm sober. That was good.
So who knows?
I don't care.
Who knows? But
especially also factor in, Kevin, and again, not to excuse Mel Gibson, but the thing that set him off was fighting over a baby. I mean, you know how you are about your kids. I mean, Mel is the same way about his kids. I mean, that also kind of amps up the angst, I think, of that phone call.
Yeah. Look, I've said things in arguments when I was sober that I couldn't believe came out of my mouth after the fact.
Well, it's a good thing there aren't cameras on us 24/7. I'll say that.
Certainly. It would be,
if someone picked your worst argument on your worst day when you're talking to someone that you really were effed up in the head about and then played it for everyone, you would be shocked.
You would die of embarrassment. I know I would.
I'd love to hear Bean just screaming angry at someone.
Oh, I've heard it. It's not pleasant.
Oh, I bet it's awesome. Why don't you tape it next time?
Yeah, you're right.
Because Bean's like, oh, DJ Spina Bifida. Ooh, I love animals. Ooh,
that's a public
guys, look at me tweet things that are useless.
Underneath, he's like, oh, wreck you. I'll
well, that's
you.
What I'm saying.
Yep.
You never know about people, do you? Come out tomorrow night. Come see me and Kevin Smith talk about Hollywood news, Mel Gibson, and other things. We'll get a unique perspective from Kevin Smith.
I don't care.
I will be drunk and be able to curse and say the things that I would say in a drunken argument that I don't want anyone to record. And yet we'll be recording.
Please record it.
Isn't that ironic?
Mm-hmm.
It's at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at City Walk and Universal Studios. 10 o'clock tomorrow night. You can get tickets and more information at babbleonralph.com.
I don't care.
Oh, well, then don't come, Mel. You won't like what we're going to say about you anyway. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jack Nicholson is 74 years old today. John Waters turned 65. Peter Frampton is 61. Ryan Stiles of The Drew Carey Show is 52. Fletcher of Pennywise turns 45, as does actor and man's man Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Sherry Shepherd is 44. Chavo of System of a Down is 37. Daniel Johns of Silverchair turns 32. And Amber Heard. Usually when I hear a celebrity admit to being a lesbian, I don't care. I am a very sexually tolerant person, and I think to each their own, and whoever you choose to have sex with, it's no business of mine.
Right.
I harbor no ill will to anyone's sexuality, and if you choose to, or it's not a choice, if your sexuality is homosexual, heterosexual, I really, really don't care.
But you could turn her.
But when Amber Heard said she was a lesbian, my penis hurt.
It hurt you.
It did. It was like, oh.
Why? It wasn't going to.
I know. Logically, it doesn't make any sense. I had no shot. I was never going to experience her.
It wasn't gonna taste that
meal. Nothing was going to happen. Nope. There was no, but still, oh, look at her. And no man will ever get to walk in that garden.
Twice the taco.
That's right. That's what her house is like now. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I Am Music 2 tour in California right now. Tonight at Staples Center. Then tomorrow night at the Honda Center in Anaheim. And then on Monday at the Oracle Arena in Oakland. You're going to see Lil Wayne, Travis Barker, and our friend Mixmaster Mike, who joins us in studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, along with Rick Ross and Nicki Minaj. Mike, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing real good. It's great to talk to you. It's good to be back home.
This Lil Wayne tour must be so much fun to tour with. Must be so much fun to be out with. What a lineup. What a show.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Is that a question?
Great.
No, it's just an enthusiastic remark. That's all.
It's amazing.
How did this all come down with you and Travis?
We know
the beginning of the story. It's bad. But then what?
Well, you know, he made an album called Gonna Drum or Get Some, and he needed a DJ to,
Oh, so you worked on that. I wasn't aware you worked on that.
Well, no, he needed a DJ to formulate something live.
I see. I got you.
So he gave me a call, and, you know, rest in peace to my man DJ AM. Was good friends with AMs, and he made the call, you know, and it was like, okay, well, I wasn't going on the road with the Beasties anytime soon, so it was just like, okay. Perfect situation, and, you know, it was good.
Yeah, kind of a no-brainer. I mean, Travis Barker is one of the best in the business in terms of beats. He gives you a lot to work with, and you're a great guy for him to counterbalance with. It's unbelievable the stuff that you two do together and the stuff that he used to do together just when it was him and DJ AM playing. I mean, it made it sound like a whole band with just the two of them and with just the two of you. It's crazy that you guys can do that.
Well, me and Travis bring out the musician in each other, you know. It's like, you know.
You challenge him? Do you do stuff like
exactly?
Throw him off?
Yeah, it is. It is kind of like, it's kind of like a battle. I mean, kind of like, you know, he keeps me on my toes. I keep him on his toes. And it's just like, we're doing the live remix thing.
Right.
So just like all original music, all original cuts. So just like that's the approach we took for
that's
this
crazy.
Tour. Yeah.
And is there a nicer guy in the world than Travis Barker?
He's a really nice guy. really good looking, nice guy.
Yeah, I didn't say good looking, but all right, he's good looking. I'll give him that.
This Give the Drummer Some, I think, is one of the best albums of 2011. I love it so much. I still have not taken it out of my car since the day it came out. And I can't imagine how much fun it is to play it live because there's so many different styles of – so many different kinds of beats on the album. And that's what's fun about watching Travis play is because he can bring whatever is necessary to the song. He's unbelievably talented, and it must also be fun for you because it's not like doing the same riff over and over and over again all night.
No, pretty much. I mean, we improvise a lot of the set too as we go, which makes it great. You know what I mean? It's just like kind of like loose. You know, when we're up there, it's just like whatever we feel at the time. And now, right now, we're like on our 30th show, so it's like you can imagine like how tight the show is now. I mean, just being together playing 30 shows.
You know, it's funny. We interview a lot of bands, and improvise is not a word that comes up very often. Most bands, they play their songs, they learn how to play their songs well. And then they play their songs well, and that's it. There's no really improvising to go, you know what I mean, to go along with it.
No, exactly. Well, you know, there's always got to, you know, he's got to have a plan B. You know, Hendrix always had a plan B and a plan C. So that was my idol growing up. So it's just like I apply that to the turntables.
Speaking of the acts on this I Am Music 2 tour, who's crazier, Lil Wayne or Nicki Minaj?
Crazier?
Yeah. Unpredictable. They do bizarre things. You're surprised by them. It's a miracle that they show up. Well, I mean, no, whatever your definition of crazy is.
It's a miracle to be able to lay your eyes on them in person because, I mean, their entourage is so thick. So it's just like, you know
oh, really?
What I mean?
Yeah. So many people?
Yeah, big human beings, you know, and it's like, you know, they roll deep.
Sure.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Do you find yourself going, I'd like to talk to Lil. Can I? And then they go, no. Does that happen, or do you get the right passes, or how does that work?
You know, I know.
Take them on?
Well, you know, I got inside hookups.
All right.
I mean, I can, if I really wanted to, I can infiltrate.
Okay.
Right.
No.
Mixmaster Mike is here in a couple of minutes, by the way. Not right now, but in a couple of minutes, we're going to give away tickets to the show. And also, you got your own headphones coming out or out now? What's the story on that?
It's called the Skullcandy Mixmasters. Best headphones on the market right now. It's coming out. The launch is in June. And
you're going to go on record and say they're better than Beats by Dre.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Better than any headphone. Come on, man. This is not just a DJ headphone. This is a everyday universal headphone. It's like, you know, talk on the iPod with it. Like, I mean, you know, your cell phone, DJ, whatever you want to do. It's amazing when you see it. go on the Skull Canyon website to check it out.
I can't imagine what's left in the world of headphones to really to make a difference, to really improve upon what's already out there, because headphones are generally pretty good. How is there room for something new in that area? What was missing from headphones that made you think, I got to get in on this?
Well, you know, when you purchase my headphones, you get my new album called Plasma Rifle. So that's a plus. And also, I got a new iPhone app. It's called Wheels of Steel.
All right, hold on. We'll get to that. Do you have an app?
I have an app,
You have headphones?
I have an app, and I could do like a full-on demonstration if you want. Like, here it is right here.
Wait, you mean you can play? Oh, wow.
We
need to take a break.
Okay, let's take a break, and let's talk about this.
All right.
You're going to play? Is that off of your iPad you're playing?
Yeah, it's an iPhone app, but it's, you know, I got an iPad version as well. So.
Crazy. All right. Mixmaster Mike is here. We'll return with more right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Mixmaster Mike in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Three shows this weekend in California, Los Angeles, Anaheim, and Oakland. That's with Lil Wayne, Travis Barker, Rick Ross, Nicki Minaj. Mike's one of these guys who I sense gets more done before noon every day than we do in a week.
Yeah.
Kevin, he seems to be very busy with a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
He's an overachiever. He's an overachiever. You make the rest of us look bad, Mike.
You need to back off. You're ruining your curve.
You were, besides the headphones, you were starting to tell us about your new app where even I can scratch now. Even I can DJ. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, back in, you know, the late 90s, it was like, okay, we got DJing and stuff like that. What are we going to have to look forward to in 2011 or 2012? What's the future? And the future is right here on my lap. It's called Mixmaster Mike Wheels of Steel.
The Wheels of Steel.
Yeah. And it's two turntables and a mixer in your pocket.
All right.
Yeah.
And it plays what music? Any music
It plays anything that's in your iPod, anything in your library, and it imports through Wi-Fi as well.
No kidding.
So it is what you make it.
So you could also load up your iPod with all sorts of you know, scratching and effects and sound bites and stuff like that? And
just
incorporate it all in?
Whatever you want. And the app comes with 8 custom sound effects that I designed and 4 custom beats. So
Now, we didn't know you were bringing this miracle of technology, so we're not 100% set up to put it on the air. But I think we can hear it if you put your microphone down to it. Could you give us a demonstration of what your app sounds like?
Yeah, he has it on his iPad, and he's going to...
Yeah, let me just like point the mic down.
Okay.
And see what happens.
It's a live musical performance from Mixmaster Mike.
It's the first iPad live performance we've ever had.
Here it is.
5, 4, 3, 2. And he's doing all that live.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's a hit.
Now, all right, now Mike. Now, you can make it sound that way. I'm special needs. I don't know that I can make. How long would it take me to get to that point? Because you're already a good DJ. How am I going to do it?
There's actually a special needs
Needs version.
Yes. Well, you know.
Yes. What you should do is you should do special needs version, and then it's all pre-mixed, and then I just fake it.
Well, there's actually. You know what?
I should just like touch it and stuff. I won't be doing anything.
There's this thing on here that with my custom scratches already. You just hit one button and it scratches for you. Like, check it out. Oh, well, you can't see it, but it's just
you
like,
just hit a button. You're not actually
Well, there's 4 different scratches that I've made up over the years called the Scribble, Laser, Baby, and Dragon. That you just hit these buttons and they do it for you. You know, for the beginners.
So it is
to make you feel good.
It's tarred proof.
Well, yeah,
Mike. Technology has come so far. I mean, you know, a lot of DJs like our own DJ Omar Khan. He doesn't even have to take vinyl with him anymore because he's got everything digitally. Are we at the point now where you're not going to have to use turntables at all in live shows coming up with a technology like this?
No, turntables is a must. I mean,
it
just gets corny. If it's not with 2 turntables, then it's corny. It's cornball. It's hip-hop when it's 2 turntables, and it should stay that way.
Why?
Because that's how it started. Peace to Kool Herc, Grandmaster Flash. You want to keep that tradition going. And, you know, it's my instrument. I mean,
yeah,
right.
I have no other instrument but the turntable. So.
You have an iPad.
It would be like Bruce Springsteen putting down his guitar just because he could play that on a computer. It wouldn't be the same, is what you're saying.
No, would not be the same. Yeah.
All right. Are you part of the hot sauce committee?
You know, unfortunately, I'm not, because I have had so many projects, solo projects going on, but I will be doing some remixes of the songs.
Oh, that's cool.
Coming, yes, yes.
Talking about the new Beastie Boys album that's coming out in May. So you're not on the record, but if they do finally decide to get out on the road and do it live, will you be joining them on stage?
Of course. I'm their DJ.
You're the man.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That's a pretty cool thing to have in your back pocket. You know? Beastie Boys tour. Yeah, I guess I'll go with them.
I don't know. It's been 16 years now I've been with the guys. Yeah, it's like crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's weird.
I know we don't have a lot of time, Mike, but whenever we have a guy like you in who has been doing it for as long as you have, and, you know, you just mentioned some of the names, the early innovators of hip-hop, are you amazed to see hip-hop going as strong as it is in the 21st century, or did you always know that that kind of music was never going to die out?
You know, well, hip-hop is just, it's a universal art. It could be taken in any direction. You know, it's you know, hip-hop is taken from classic rock, jazz, and just everything. I mean, but, you know, I think it's whatever you think of, you can make it hip-hop as long as it's got the banging beat and the crazy explicit lyrics.
But at the time, you know, at the time when rap was breaking out of the projects in the, you know, in the 70s, there were a lot of people who thought it was a fad. Of course, there were people who thought rock and roll was a fad too. That there's no way. I mean, it was a novelty act and it was never going to survive. And here you are decades later, and it's the biggest form of music we've got in this country.
Yeah,
it has
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and thanks to groups like, you know, Run DMC, the Beastie Boys. I mean, if it wasn't for those guys paving the way, then who knows where we would be right now. So, you know, big respect to the pioneers, you know. In order to know where you're at today, you got to know where it came from, so.
And guys like your friend Lil Wayne, too, who continue to push the boundaries with every new record he comes out with. Have you heard any of the Carter 4? I'm starting to see rumblings about it getting close to coming out. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about the Carter 4, but I'm sure it's...
it's Lil Wayne.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Lil Wayne-ish.
Yeah, it's Lil Wayne-ish, and it's... yeah, yeah. And what I understand, I heard it's nice, clean, sober music.
That's what he's known
Fantastic.
For. Lil Wayne, Travis Barker, Mixmaster Mike, Rick Ross, Nicki Minaj, Staples Center tonight, Honda Center of Anaheim Saturday night, Sunday night in Oakland at the Oracle Arena. We promised we'd give away some tickets. Let's make it for caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067.
But I'm keeping the headphones. They don't get the headphones as well.
You get tickets to see the show tonight at Staples Center and the headphones that Mixmaster Mike brought in.
Yes.
And where can people find those if they're not lucky enough to win them, Mike?
www.skullcandy.com or www.copelandentertainment.com.
I'll remember Skullcandy. I can't remember the other one.
Or MixmasterMike.com if you just want
or
to find
MixmasterMike.com,
some easy links. And the iPhone or iPad app is available through iTunes, too, and that's called the Mixmaster Mike Wheels of Steel.
Yes.
Awesome to catch up with you again, dude. Thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
KROQQQ.
Bud Light, local band spotlight.
This month's Bud Light local band spotlight is on Deep Dark Robot, fronted by the legendary music producer and musician Linda Perry. This song is catchy and gritty. Check it out now. To you each month by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Looking for fun things to do around town but don't want to break the bank? Want to treat yourself to a nice dinner or day at the spa but don't want the stress of a big price tag? Sign up for CBS Local Offers in Los Angeles. Every day you'll get a different deal from a local restaurant, spa, fitness club, or family fun. All with a savings of up to 50% off. Visit CBSLocalOffers.com today. It's free to sign up and you'll start receiving offers from local LA businesses delivered to your email every day. Great deals are expiring as we speak, so don't miss out. Sign up today.
this legal? K-R-O-Q.
Hi, this is Mike Ness from Social Distortion. When I'm not in another state of mind, I'm listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 K-R-O-Q.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 938.
Every once in a while, a guy like Mixmaster Mike will come in, and you just realize you're doing nothing with your life. He's out there with a million things going on. He's good at all of them. Never seems to waste a second.
Yeah.
And we sit on our fat asses all day and make Donald Trump jokes.
Speak for yourself.
I got a lot going on, man.
Oh, do you? You got a lot going on,
I just found a new snack in the vending machine in the hallway.
Really?
Oh, wow. I am living large. I am really exploring the outer reaches of my comfort zone.
I didn't know that your life was so rich full. I apologize. I'm sorry.
It's a dry roasted nut, sort of a nut and dried fruit combination. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, it's a taste explosion.
See, now I would look at that, I would go, maybe not. But you tried it. Well, you went for it.
You're living on the edge, doing nothing. I'm exploring. I'm pushing the envelope. I'm not sitting on my laurels.
Well, I'm just a fat ass, and I'm sitting on both laurels right now. So, all right, time for our final look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Yeah. Can we just take a second to dissect that last joke?
No, but we'll put it in the file.
All right, okay.
I'm just saying it's just my big fat ass. That's all. I got the left laurel. I got the right laurel. I'm sitting on both of them.
Ugh. I don't want to hear about your laurels.
Well, you shouldn't have asked for clarification.
Justin Bieber.
Guilty.
He's not accused of anything.
I'm so confused.
He is one of the 100 most influential people in the world, according to Time magazine.
Where is he on the list?
Yeah, I have not seen the full list. Okay. You can go to time.com.
Now, is this just because he makes news? If he is someplace, it's automatically an event because he's popular with the audience?
If that's the case, then it's BS, because it's not the list of the 100 biggest newsmakers or the most attention-grabbing people. It's influential. So that means he must have an effect on our daily lives and how we live them.
Well, okay.
He has made me hate Canada. I know that much. I had nothing but positive feelings before he came on the scene, and now
you were influenced.
Now I was influenced.
Yeah.
Okay. Not in a positive way. Others on the list: Bruno Mars, Sting, Rain, a South Korean pop star named Rain, and Patti Smith. Oddly enough, in terms of music,
that's weird.
Patti Smith.
Yeah, that is weird.
I mean, she had a book out last year that sold well, but she's hardly on everyone's lips like some of the other names you mentioned.
I heard she's been on a lot of people's lips. Charlie Sheen was the subject of a high-speed police escort in Washington, D.C. this week.
Escort or chase?
Chase. Escort.
They were ahead of him or behind him?
They were, he was in the midst of them.
Huh.
They used their lights and sirens to escort him from Dulles International Airport in D.C. to his theater, where he was performing the Violent Torpedo of Truth Defeat Is Not an Option tour. He was nearly an hour late for the show at the time, and so they gave him a high-speed police escort. 80 miles an hour they were traveling.
It's all good. It's all good, guys. Quit panicking.
From the airport to the theater?
We are not panicked, I think it's safe to say.
Some people are not happy with this. In fact, the D.C. police are investigating exactly why he got this escort. Internal Affairs is looking into it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, when IAB's in the house, when the rat squad shows up, trust me. Speaking as a former New York City policeman, would run for the hills. Because when IAB's on your tail, thing you know, someone's gonna rat you out, and then you got to take matters in your own hands. It's a thin blue line. We stand by our own.
You were not a
cop.
We
back ourselves up.
You were not a cop.
I used to say Sipowicz all the time. I said, Tate. Sipowicz. What's with IAB?
And he would say, no autographs, kid.
You and Medavoy better watch your back.
That didn't happen.
You and John Clark, your new partner, I used to say when I was back on the force.
A few years ago, Ralph, I don't remember if you were with us or not, but we broadcast from Miami, where the MTV Video Music Awards were going on. And we were all trying to get to the venue, and we saw a police escort for Diddy. Diddy had his car, and he had a bunch of cars around him, and the police were, they had their sirens going, their lights, just
that
like you described with Charlie Sheen.
That was a chase.
No, they were escorting him to the Miami Center, wherever it was. So we're all in line, and they make us all pull over, and the police goes by with Diddy in his big fancy car. And Kevin decides, hey, I'm better than everyone else here. I'm gonna drive in and join the motorcade.
Oh.
So Kevin gets out of line, gets into the motorcade, and zips on down to the arena while the rest of us are stuck in traffic.
I didn't do it because I was better. I did it because I thought of it.
It's called a blue drafting, isn't it? When you get behind a police escort.
It was awesome. Everybody else pulled over and just went right down the line. Sweet.
Right, but the attitude of, I deserve this, and nobody else does.
I deserve this.
Because clearly everybody can't be part of the motorcade, but you felt you should be.
Oh, why do you have to hate?
I wish you had been shot.
It was all fun. It was all good.
You should have been shot.
But Diddy was getting a police escort with the lights and the sirens and everything that you're describing for Sheen to go to this MTV show. And I don't remember there being a controversy at that time. I don't know if this is just because it's Sheen that people care or what. But
what is the policy? Can you just get one if you're a celebrity?
I don't know. Perhaps, you can request one from the city government or something, and maybe they can approve that kind of thing. But I think what the D.C. police are upset about is they didn't seem to know anything about it until after the fact.
Well, that's probably not
there's
good.
There's probably some sort of form you got to fill out, I would think, or clearance of some kind or something.
I mean, if it's Justin Bieber or somebody who is going to cause a traffic snarl if he gets stuck in traffic, maybe that makes sense. But a guy like Charlie Sheen, I can't imagine he couldn't have easily driven to the venue on his own without an escort.
Yeah, I agree. Rob Pattinson in the news. Apparently he's a clown hater.
Uh-oh.
One of those clown haters.
Not another one.
But he's got good reason. He told a reporter this week that when he was a child, he attended the circus, and one of the tiny cars that a clown was driving around This is not funny.
Yes, it is.
Exploded during the performance. Everyone had to evacuate the scene, and the poor clown died due to the accident. He was inside the miniature vehicle when it exploded.
Do you know if everyone started clapping like, that's an amazing effect?
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen a clown do. No, they were too busy wiping the makeup off their faces, I'm guessing, after the clown exploded. But
that's not how you want to go in a clown car.
Well, first of all, you don't want to be a clown. Second of all, you don't want to ride in one of those stinking little cars. And lastly, you don't want to die in a clown car explosion. That's for sure. You guys excited about Doctor Who premiering this weekend?
Sixth season of the new
Doctor Who premiering Saturday night.
Not even
on BBC America. The return of Matt Smith, the latest Doctor.
Oh, I can't wait.
I feel like I am too far behind to jump in on that series after the decades of mythology already.
You can catch up.
Really?
Yeah.
It seems awfully intricate.
It's only been on since the 60s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What happened so far?
But this latest Doctor is much more accessible because they're showing on BBC in America, and it is more they leave some of the stuff behind. You still need to know about the Daleks and the Cybermen and, you know, all that other stuff. But
it sounds kind of geeky for me.
How dare you, sir? Are you accusing me of geekdom?
No.
I will not stand for it. Anyway, it's good news. It's going to be by the way, the Doctor always has a companion that he travels with in the TARDIS through time and space.
Right.
And Karen Gillian, who plays his most recent companion, she is hot.
Oh, is she? Okay.
Yeah. So you might want to check her out. Hey, I'm not doing that. Why is someone throwing me the change of the story
signal?
I'm
just saying. Look, I'm not in charge of it. It just knows that the audience is bored.
But internationally, it's one of the biggest franchises in history, right, Rob?
Absolutely.
Unbelievably popular.
Huge, huge hit. And you should all be exposed to it.
Paparazzi are kind of annoying today.
There's some Jamaican paparazzi, too, in the crowd, apparently. And Mel Gibson wants you to know those tapes you may have heard of him being a little perturbed.
A little perturbed.
At his former girlfriend, Oksana Grigorieva, don't represent how he truly feels or lives his life.
You don't think he feels...
You should just smile and me.
I don't think he really feels that.
No,
I don't think he thinks that.
I think he does.
Says the incendiary audio tapes that everyone's heard on the internet only represent one terribly awful moment in time said to one person in the span of one day and doesn't represent what I truly believe or how I've treated people in my life, says Mel. It's the first time he's sort of talked about the incident since it happened. And he said those tapes that you've heard have been edited, by the way. And that's why I think some people think he's bigoted from all the garbage they heard on those leaked tapes, he says.
I don't care.
But nobody edited him to say, if you get raped by a pack of Negroes, you'll deserve it. I mean, those were words that did come out of his mouth, no matter how upset he was. I mean, he created that sentence, right?
I don't think he said Negroes, 1955 Bean.
Well, I also don't think you want me to say what he said, but you get the implication.
You could say black people or African Americans.
Sure.
Jeez. Did you vote for Eisenhower, Bean?
I believe he was talking about the Negroes.
I didn't say that. It was edited, first of all.
Right.
Also, remember when he got popped in 2006 on that drunk driving thing in Malibu?
Yes, that was edited as well.
Sugar boobs and all that stuff. The reason he went off then at the time was because he said he knew if he got arrested for DUI, given his drinking problems and the battles he was having with alcoholism, his wife would leave him.
Okay.
That's why he was so furious. The next day, she left him.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So he may have had a point there.
Well,
he didn't have a point, obviously.
No,
but
he
may give you some insight as to why he was so upset when he was pulled over at that time. Of course, the option is don't get drunk
drink
and
drive.
Always. Also.
Why don't you start there?
Wow, Kevin, you're really harsh.
Well, he's yelling about the cops giving him a ticket. What's wrong with that?
Don't you know he owns Malibu?
He does.
And I think that was the Jews' fault, wasn't it?
I don't
he got
care.
Pulled over? I think it was.
I heard it was the colored people.
Oh, really? Oh, jeez.
in Mel Gibson's words.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Malcolm X. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jack Nicholson, 74 years old today. John Waters turned 65. Let's back up for a second. How do you celebrate your birthday if you're Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know what a Tuesday is for Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
A couple Laker girls, an 8-ball of blow, a couple bottles of your finest champagne, and then, you know, maybe
sit on the bench with the Lakers.
Yeah, right. Then you go check out the game. If it's your birthday, if it's a special occasion, what do you do if you're Jack Nicholson?
Do you think he knows it's his birthday even, or is he just every day's like that?
I don't think you can step it up.
Someone should call him and say, hey, Shorty, it's your birthday. Let's party like it's your birthday.
And I'm the one accused of reaching back to the 50s.
Drink Bacardi like it's your birthday.
In the file.
How dare you, sir? I tweeted earlier today. It was Earth Day. I said, hey, planet, it's Earth Day. Let's drink Bacardi like it's your Earth Day.
Oh, come on. Really?
And there were many calls for the file at that point.
You don't get file not for your bad tweeting.
Apparently someone wants to start a bad tweet file for me.
Well, we have that for Bean, but yeah, the rest is.
John Waters is 65 years old today. Peter Frampton is 61. Ryan Stiles of The Drew Carey Show turns 52. Fletcher of Pennywise is 45, as is actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Sherry Shepherd's 44. Chavo of System of a Down is 37. Daniel Johns, singer and guitarist for Silverchair, is 32. And Amber Heard celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Yes, you do. Have a great weekend, everybody. We have Carson Daly on Monday. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ on Monday and a bunch more. We'll see you then.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Okay, that's Liza Minnelli gay.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I agree with you 100%.
Roll another one.
Tainted panties for you.
Just like the other one.
Is meat on the menu this week?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm happy to say that I don't even get that.
I need another hit.
You are mumbling.
What am I doing?
You're mumbling.
I'm mumbling.
Never mumble.
No.
People think you're crazy. Then they take you downtown and they turn the hose on you. Is that what you want, Tim?
Who does
you
what?
You want the hose?
Roll.
Roll.
Roll. Roll. Roll. Another one.
What's with the pole?
Just like the other one.
What is this, Russia?
This one seems to be about to end.
I'm a rapist.
I don't have another cent.
Just hand me something that looks like a sandwich and I'll put it in my mouth.
That's crazy.
Just pass it around.
You are a talented son of a bitch.
Please.
We've got to put a stop to this so that I can get out of here. See, I'm not built to work 5 days a week.
Needless to say, you all failed.
I am leaving, and you can't stop me. I'm packing my bags.
Get the hell out of my house! Go! Go! Pack it up! Get out!
Oh, is that it? That would do it. Anything else? Want me to jump off a building, perform Harry Carey, move to a different town? No, I kid.
Okay, by my watch, it's Margarita o'clock.